Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. Mom is with us. Hello, happy
Hi.
Sunday.
Happy Sunday, happy Palm Sunday today.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are we going to talk about today?
To be here.
Definitely. Yay. Oh, and your audio is great, by the way.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I'm a little distressed. I've been kind of freaking out. I changed internet providers. That's like changing your auto insurance, right?
Yeah.
One of those terrifying decisions. I work from home, so of course my internet provider is, it's not like I'm only watching, you know, dog videos, although I spend a lot of time doing that, but
who doesn't?
I use my like who doesn't, but I use my internet for my job. And on top of that, the clients that come into my activities are court mandated. So that means that my group with them is tied directly to their liberty. So I have to hold myself to an extremely high standard. And so that's why I'm a little squidgy, but telling me that my audio is good today.
Oh, wonderful.
Makes me happy.
Yay. Okay, So what are we going to talk about today? Definitely lots of good news.
There's
when
a ton.
We talk about, when we talk about the Supreme Court case in Missouri, I'm not sure if that should be a whole other segment, but I would like to play that Clay and Buck clip that I pulled up when we get there.
Right, and that's the one I sent you. Did I send it in a text or did I send it to your Danielle folder?
You sent it in a text.
Perfect. And so you have it ready, right? Because I definitely want to talk about that.
Cool.
Quote of the day from that case was from Justice Samuel Alito. He said, the only reason why this is taking place is because the federal government has got Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket. And it's, to mix my metaphors, it's got these big clubs available to it, and it's also got and so it's treating Facebook and these other platforms like they're subordinates.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that. Think about that. So Justice Samuel Alito called good money, and I have a really great case or a really great article up whenever you're ready, but I would love it if you would play that clip first.
Okay. All right. And we've got somebody, I can never tell if it's Ty or Kate, because, I guess we'll find out.
It might be Lily today. Lily's going to
pop in as
well.
No, but this is Colorado.
Let's find out.
So.
Oh, okay.
Well, hello.
We'll just be pleasantly surprised by either one.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello.
Oh, it's Ty. Yay.
Hi,
right
Ty.
Now, so.
Hooray.
Hi. Or whatever, you'll know why. So,
yes. Okay. So we're going to start with the Supreme Court case on free speech. You good with that?
Got you. Yes. That's a good.
Yes. Okay. All right, Mom, take it away.
Yes.
You want me to do the clip, or you want to set up first?
Well, so okay, I do want to do a little setup first, and just to reiterate that. It is my supposition, and I'm not the only one, that this was one of the most important cases of the 21st century and that it needs to be treated as such. The very fact that we that it had to go to the Supreme Court in the first place is just anathema to me, that we have to fight for the right to speak in a public square. And I suppose that's the issue, is that... The internet companies social media companies are all saying, well, you know, this is a private company. We can do what we want to do. And I suppose they're right. But you cannot do it at the behest, dare I say, orders of the federal government. The federal government has no business telling social media companies which people can speak and which opinions are valid. And yet they were doing it. They were doing it for years. And of course we, you know, obviously far longer than your average citizen would realize. This case got started because of, and this is a quote from a guy named Mike Benz, that COVID and the 2020 election were the most censored events in the history of the United States. And what happened was people rose up, and two attorneys general, Louisiana and Missouri, stood up to the federal government and got the goods. And the Fifth Circuit Court said, oh, yeah, you've proven your case. It's obvious that the government, not only were the social media companies censoring Americans, but you have demonstrated that the federal government was behind the scenes pulling the strings, causing them to censor American citizens. You're going to hear some happy talk on the clip that Danielle's going to play, but I listened to the entire oral argument, and it didn't sound good for the good guys, the free speech guys. There was in particular a couple of justices. One, Ketanji Brown, the most recent one, said that how it would be really sad if we interrupted the government from, stopping people from speaking. And I'm like, I want to get the full quote. She goes, the government needs to be able to shut people up for their own safety. She was making the other side's argument for them. And I almost fell out of my chair listening to a Supreme Court justice saying something like that. It was really awful. I still think, and this is my prediction, and I'm going to let Danielle play the clip in a minute. It is my prediction that it will be a 6-3 and for the plaintiffs, which are Missouri and Louisiana, and by and large, the American people. It is my hope anyway, because one of the supposed conservative justices that Trump appointed, Comey Barrett, whatever the heck her name is, kind of made me want to throw it in my mouth a little bit too with some of her questions and comments. And the other thing that really bothered me is it didn't sound like they had read the cases that caused the Fifth Circuit judge to say, yes, you've proven your case. And the attorney that was representing our side was a bit of a putz, and he just kept going back to this one particular case. And say it again.
One particular plaintiff. Because there were several people who alleged to have been, aggrieved.
There were thousands of examples that were provided to the Fifth Circuit. That's why the Fifth Circuit said, you've proven your case. They were doing this. And so it went on, and the judges kept asking, well, what about if it's a terrorist? And what about it? There were carve-outs for all of those law enforcement and keep us safe instances. And they just kept bringing up they kept talking about these sort of straw men examples. What were they called? What's the word that people use when they give an example or they – oh, God. Anyway, hypotheticals. They kept using these just wild freaking hypotheticals. And our attorney should have said there are carve-outs for that. There are carve-outs for that. There are carve-outs for that. But he never said those words. And so I'm not 100% confident in my prediction like I usually am when I make a prediction. I still think it's going to be okay. So right now you're going to get to hear a clip of the attorney that actually brought the case. He's now a United States senator, and he turned the case over to subordinates after he was elected as senator. Take it away, 3, 2, 1. Can you guys hear me? Hello? Okay, good.
Hello?
Don't scare me because I'm trying new internet today, Ty. Keep telling me you cherish me because then I will know that I'm still here.
No, you're there. And also, though,
did I fade out at all?
They were doing non sequitur, not straw man. Non sequitur is just they reverted to another topic as opposed to talking about the actual topic.
Totally, so, Ty. And it was really, really scary and really, really ugly. Okay, Danielle, are you there? Are you going to play the clip? You know what, Ty? I think we lost Danielle.
Did we really?
Yeah,
I don't hear. So.
Oh, for goodness' sake!
Funny.
Well, you and I can keep chatting.
Yeah.
I do have.
Hi, I'm here. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
Comment.
They just kicked me out.
Yeah, they kicked you. See?
Okay, we thought so.
Mercury and Aries, everyone. So communication's going to be nuts in this retrograde for the next 2 weeks.
Isn't it interesting
they kicked me out when
we talk about free speech?
Every
case
time.
Here, too.
Isn't it interesting?
Every single time.
Yep.
So.
Kate, I see you, but press one, and I'll let you in. And then I'm going to rewind this because I was like, how's that audio? Hello? Hello, anybody? No
audio. How's that audio,
Dad? Well.
Very bad.
Well, but here's what happened to me, Danielle. When you got kicked out, I, you know, did my soliloquy and I said, "Take it away, Danielle. 3, 2, 1." And then I heard dead silence. And I'm like, "Oh my God, my internet!" And I'm like, "Ty, just keep telling me you care for me because I need to know that I'm still here." Anyway, yes, you need to start it over, Danielle.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Could you just give everybody the background on this so they understand?
And that audio is okay for everyone?
Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah,
awesome.
What this case is and your role in bringing it, this case that's being heard today by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, so I think if people take a step back in time a little bit and remember the government's desire to control the narrative, especially during COVID, but there were certainly instances outside of that. And you saw Jen Psaki at the podium saying we're flagging posts for Facebook. You saw Joe Biden saying that these social media platforms were killing people because, information about whether it was masking or origins of COVID was different than what the narrative of the Biden administration was. And then, you know, remember, they also created something called the Disinformation Governance Board. This is all public. And so in May of 2022, when I was the AG in Missouri, we filed a lawsuit, Missouri versus Biden. And one of the things that's really important is we were able to get discovery, meaning we were able to get emails, text messages before the preliminary injunction hearing. Why is that important? Because what we discovered was a sprawling, vast censorship enterprise that wasn't just a couple government officials working with social media companies, but a leviathan of agencies and individuals, the Surgeon General of the United States, I mean, high-ranking government officials basically saying, take this down or else. And then that sort of happened around that time frame. Then Elon Musk, of course, buys Twitter. You have the Twitter files. You have the congressional hearings. And all this stuff is now out there for the world to see. And the reality is, we all know that, you know, traditional First Amendment law is that the government doesn't get to suppress your speech. It doesn't get to censor you in the town square. Well, now we've moved into an era of a virtual town square. In this case, sort of stands to the proposition, does the government get to coerce social media companies and threaten them with taking away Section 230 protections or investigations if they don't do their bidding? So the government can't censorship. They all can't engage in censorship. They also can't outsource that either. And that's what's being argued today in front of the Supreme Court.
Could you just give everybody the background on this so they understand what this case is and your role in bringing it, this case that's being heard today by the Supreme Court?
Yeah, so I think if people take a step back in time a little bit and remember
you're replaying the clip, Danielle.
To control the narrative, especially during COVID, but there were certainly instances outside.
What's that?
It's replaying. Shut it off. It was replaying.
No, it's not.
It started
it's
from
not
the
replaying.
Beginning
it's
again,
almost,
and I don't know why.
It's not replaying.
These are the exact same words that they just said a minute ago. Go ahead.
And you saw Jen Psaki at the podium saying...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so there's a longer version of it. But I guess that's pretty good.
I think I sent you... It's good. Yes, you're fine. Because I just sent you in Green Room the clip from Ketanji Brown, and I'm going to set that up a little bit by
cool.
reading some stuff, and then I'll Yeah, so it's in the middle. There's an article from Gateway Pundit, Green Room, and it was dated March 18th. And in the middle of that article, Danielle, is the clip from Ketanji Brown, which I'm going to set up next. The
okay,
Supreme
cool.
Court heard oral arguments in, they called it Murthy v. Missouri, which the name of the case changed during the process of the appeals process. That's normal because it used to be Missouri v. Biden. Now it's Murthy versus Missouri, which is, that's them supposedly them coming back at us. I don't know what why, but that's the name of the case that the Supreme Court justices heard. The argument is that the federal government needs the ability to go behind our back in secret and flag posts and tell social media companies to take them down for our own good. Okay, and that's kind of what we heard. It was a vast, and I've got some even more great news about this in particular that's coming from the left hook, which is, excuse me, in this case, the right hook. Missouri, Louisiana, and five individuals and it filed suit arguing that the federal government violated their First Amendment speech rights by influencing social media companies to censor their posts related to COVID-19 pandemic and the 2020 elections, which, by the way, they kept arguing that during the liberal justice kept saying, well, what about Islam and what about this and what about that non sequiturs and they're also, but they did use tie hypotheticals. Well, what happens if there's a teenage thing where they're saying telling each other to jump off bridges? That was a hypothetical, like Amy Coney Barrett, which drove me nuts. Okay, and so they were coming out of left field with them, but. In a tweet this morning, Senator Rand Paul called the case the most consequential free speech case in U.S. history. He tweeted, this isn't about social media companies. It's a critical examination of government overreach. The Biden administration and FBI's efforts to influence big tech into silencing dissent tramples on the First Amendment. Our focus must be on preventing government censorship, not compelling private entities to act as censors. That's this case in a nutshell. He said, my biggest concern is, and this was Ketanji Brown Jackson, which go ahead and play the clip, Danielle. So this is some of the stuff that these wacko freaking judges were talking about, her in particular.
It was infuriating.
Go
Kate,
ahead.
Kate's here. I'm going to let her in real quick, and then we'll get to it.
Okay. Well,
hello.
Welcome, Kate. I like that. Hi, Kate.
Yay. Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Okay. Very good. I'm gonna play
voice
this clip
today.
I know we missed you last week.
Oh, I know. I was
okay. Here
working.
We here we go with this. Okay. We're gonna get back into it. The Supreme Court case, free speech case. So here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Justice Jackson.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important. Time period.
Oh, shut up.
I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, you know, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and
no,
you seem
no,
to be
they
suggesting
don't.
That duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really
oh my
worried
God.
About that because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
Your Honor, I understand that instinct, and I guess what I tell you is the...
Okay, yeah, and that guy's kind of a tool. But he's for our side.
She's
That's
a tool.
Infuriating.
She's a freaking tool. She's an idiot, and it's also terrifying. Okay, so I guess I need to correct the record. For some reason, I had it in my head that it was Amy Coney Barrett talking about the children jumping off bridges. But nothing is preventing the federal government in any of this stuff from going on social media, going on the news, going everywhere. By the way, the most powerful entity on the planet.
Right.
The only thing, instead, they're doing it backdoor with FBI agents, CIA agents, threatening backdoor these social media companies, and they have the power over them, which is, in a minute, we're going to get to the Alito quote, okay, which that's the problem. That and besides, how can a Supreme Court justice be saying stuff like that? That just is just anathema.
Listen to her wording, though. Listen to her wording. Her wording is from the government's perspective.
So Samuel
right.
Alito.
So you already know. So she already knows that the precepts to the Constitution are already there. Everyone acts like they can circumvent or outmaneuver the founding fathers on this document. There's a reason it's the First Amendment. There's a reason
right.
they're doing that.
But what is that
from the government's, from the government's perspective? Right. From the government's perspective, it harms. Harm according to who? Because we weren't her.
Right.
We weren't her. No, we weren't. She's not acknowledging her harm. She's not
acknowledging
the government wanted, and the government didn't get their way. Therefore, it's their harm. So that's what she said from their perspective, because she knows she can't make an argument. She knows she can't pretend that the government lying to us didn't cause harm, because it did. That's
right.
Watch their wording. Watch how they word
it. Totally
out.
Did.
So.
Probably already laws in place anyway to prevent.
Correct.
People from
Correct.
Trying to get others
of course.
To jump off a bridge.
Exactly.
Right.
And people who argue against the First Amendment know this because they have to take oaths of office, so they know what this is. They know. That's why they think they can outmaneuver the founding
harm.
Fathers on this document. They can't do it. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. They're mad
but
because they can't coerce us through coercion,
harassment,
blackmail, bribe, and threat. That's not how the Constitution works. So.
Yeah, it makes my skin crawl.
It's obvious she doesn't understand. It made my skin crawl, too. And it's obvious, and of course she understands, but she was acting like that somehow it's the poor little victim government
yeah.
government
yes.
that might be, you know, somewhat impeded. We're talking about,
well, what about
the most powerful nation on the planet.
Hamstring means keep holding
Didn't
you
she
accountable.
Say hamstring?
Right.
Yeah.
You don't want to be held accountable for your actions. That's what the First Amendment does. It keeps you from using coercion, blackmail, duress, bribe, and threat as consent, because it isn't. That's all there is to it. It is. It's already covered. They think that they think they can outmaneuver them. They can't. It's not going to happen. They're already liable. It's too late. Liable, slander, defamation. You will go down for it. Don't think you won't.
Yeah, let's hope.
Just like Kate said, they have so many other avenues. Again, the most powerful organization on the planet have so many other avenues other than a back door, bunch of shenanigans and threatening social media companies with Section 230, which that's what I'm going to get to next.
Okay,
how
cool.
is my audio?
Good.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. So, Ty, is yours sometimes a little wonky when you get excited like me? Because perhaps my
For years,
what
yes.
I'm listening to is a little
oh, yeah,
is a little
yeah,
choppy.
Yeah. No, they're on my ass. They
you,
have been
you know
for
what?
10 years now.
They tease
so, especially
me.
Especially my contract law. The moment I start going into contract law, they're like, nope. We're done with that. Done with that immediately.
So,
you can't teach people how their system
yeah,
works because that's the problem. So
Danielle tells me the same thing when I get excited and I start, like, you know, starting that mine goes wonky too. So don't.
Yeah, where do you
that.
Think?
Yeah.
Where do you think you found okay. that out? Because of Ty.
Ty. Okay.
Talk about it.
So the good guys had a pretty good day as well. One of my heroes is Justice Samuel Alito, and he said. Reference the exchange between the White House, again, I'm quoting the Gateway Pundit article, between the White House and other federal officials and Facebook in particular, but also some of the other platforms, he continued. And I see that the White House and other federal officials, so this means, first of all, that he actually read the record, unlike all these other stinking justices. And other federal officials are repeatedly saying that Facebook and the federal government should be partners. We are on the same team. Officials are demanding answers. I want an answer. I want it right away. And when they're unhappy, they curse them out. This is so you can tell Justice Alito read the record. Okay, they curse them out. There are regular meetings and the constant pestering of Facebook and some of the other platforms, and they want to have regular meetings, and they suggest rules that should be applied. This is the federal government telling Facebook, right, and tell us everything that you do so we can help you and we can look it over. And I thought, wow, This is Alito saying this. And I thought, wow, I cannot imagine federal officials taking that approach to the print media or representatives over there. If you did that to them, what do you think the reaction would be? So Alito kept going back to this. Look, if you tried to tell a television producer or the editor of a newspaper that you can't say this stuff, and perhaps they do and we don't know it, they would be
up in arms. Operation Mockingbird.
Okay. Up, exactly. Actually, have a clip about that today. You might be interested in playing that in a moment. And I thought, you know, the only reason why this is taking place, and see, this is the difference between the print media and news media and these social media companies, is that Section 230. So the federal government has got Section 230 and antitrust in its pocket, and it's to mix my metaphors, and it's got these big clubs available to it. So it's treating these platforms like they are subordinates. Would you do that to the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Associated Press or any other big newspaper or wire service? I imagine they try.
I'm sure they do in a way.
Deputy Solicitor General, Solicitor General Brian Fletcher. That's the attorney for the federal government, who is defending the censorship practices of the government and big tech using the so-called once-in-a-lifetime pandemic as an excuse. If that was the case, then they would have never been able to do it for the 2020 election. So they're lying. Okay, so I have the full thing, but obviously we don't have time for that today. Anyway, having said that, the good news is now they're going after another one of those organizations, Georgetown University. Interestingly enough, they went into Georgetown University and found out this is one of those power centers that the government was going to cut out. So remember, the feds were pretending like they weren't actually doing it. So a whole bunch of these public interest groups were created between 2016 and 2020. If you remember, and raise your hand if you remember this, that there was a meeting and they with Google executives in 2016, and they put that meeting out. It got leaked to the public, talking about how they would never let this happen again. And they were talking specifically about Donald Trump being elected president of the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Since then, over the last 4 years, or during that four-year period, 2016 to 2020, they created a ton of these little powerful organizations that the feds would get in there and send it through them to make these demands. Okay, one of them, and more than one, was at a university, powerful universities in their academic departments, and one of them was Georgetown Law. Okay, it's called the Transition Integrity Project. Doesn't that sound sweet and integrity, and it sounds, moral and correct and all that, right? And transition just means change,
double
right?
Talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, double speak. And it was housed at Georgetown Law ahead of the 2024 election. So they're still doing it. It would be highly inappropriate, Sessions said. This is one of the Congress critters that's going after this Georgetown University Transition Integrity Project for a university that relies on federal funding to conduct partisan political activity intended to undermine a lawfully conducted election. So this is what they were doing the whole time, and it seems like, because we broke apart a couple of them because of Missouri v. Biden, they got more, right? The House Oversight Committee has officially opened an investigation into the Transition Integrity Project at Georgetown University. In a letter to Rosa Brooks, who is the founder and facilitator of that group, Representative Pete Sessions spoke about the intensely partisan exercise, which he states is intended to sow dissension and subversion regarding the American election system and the institution of the President of the United States. So it was determined that the concept of election night is no longer accurate and indeed is dangerous. So this is some of the things that their transition scenarios. So they're back there in their little bunker figuring out a way to make the vote counting take longer. A determined campaign has opportunity to contest the election into January 2021 and that the administrative transition process itself may be highly disrupted. It would be highly inappropriate for a university that relies on federal funding to conduct partisan political activity intended to undermine a lawfully conducted election, according to Pete Sessions. So what happened is they found out that these people, they're wargaming it out to try to, fortify the election again. They caught Podesta during the 2020 cycle, a whole bunch of them, making plans to do exactly what they did, which was to break water mains, quote, unquote, send ballots out flying all over the country. I don't think they're going to get away with it again, but they're trying. More good news. They keep coming up with more and more ways that the 2020 election was stolen. There's an election integrity activist, Rick Weibel, alleges in real-time demonstration vulnerabilities in the Dominion voting systems, and he shows people in court how to do it and how it's possible. One of the takeaways from this Gateway Pundit article from March 21st is that the default administrator user and password is publicly available on the internet. And he said, and I have a copy here, and I showed Sheriff Stanek to page 10, and he can confirm that the password is there and not redacted. The other manuals for the complete system, including the DS-200, 450, and 850,
question.
All those...
Was the password password?
Just thinking.
Tony,
it probably effing was Danielle. I don't know, but it's right in the manuals. They pass them out like candy. I wonder who actually read them. Okay. So
your government's at war with you. They were like fortify when they use military tribunal terms against the populace. They're at war with you.
Bet your butt, Ty, and they're still doing it. Okay, so not only are we finding still county after county after county across the United States, we're still finding transition integrity projects in all the freaking purple-haired academic towers. We're having arrests made still across the United States. There was a Democrat operative that just got found guilty for fortifying the election 2020. But remember the safest election in history? That's what we kept hearing about. It's all bullshit. Okay. And when I say, you know, why is it good news that, you know, that the election was stolen? Well, of course it's not. It's not. But we haven't stopped and we're never going to stop. So here she is, leading Wisconsin. Wisconsin, are you kidding? Leading Wisconsin Democrat Kimberly Zapata found guilty on all counts against her in voter fraud scheme involving military ballots. So we haven't stopped, and we're never going to stop. It's happening all across the United States. Of course, you know the Mockingbird media isn't going to report it, but we haven't stopped, and we never will. And speaking of Mockingbird Media, where is that clip? I want Danielle to play it. There was a thing with Donald Trump shooting his mouth off again. I know that that's surprising to everyone. Wait a minute. Okay, so there was a case here also in a sheriff arrested. Let's see. He provided the evidence. Barry County? I don't know where Barry County is. Hold on. Find out. This was March 19th. Barry County Sheriff Dar Leaf has made a bold move by sending a letter to U.S. Representative Jim Jordan urging a congressional investigation into what he claims as evidence of foreign interference in the 2020 election. Sheriff Leaf alleges that electronic voting machines were accessed by foreign nationals across the United States, including Michigan. So Berry County must be in Michigan, to manipulate election results. Okay, I want everyone to show me their shocked face. This one came out of Serbia. So Jim Jordan was provided this information just the other day on March 19th. It says, as a result of this information, my office is also investigating conspiracy crimes, wire services fraud, honest services fraud, and perjury charges, among other criminal acts. He said Dominion Voting Systems instructed its employees to alter or otherwise falsify the integrity of the software and hardware in its voting machines and systems to attain certification by the Election Assistance Commissioner. So this is happening in counties across the United States. We haven't stopped. We're going to prove
sheriff,
that
by the
election
way, Sheriff,
stolen.
By the way, everyone, or sheriff for the actual law. Sheriff is the actual law. He's honored. He's, by oath, he has
exactly.
to report that. He has no choice. So.
Exactly. And so that was what Flynn and then this pastor that I listened to said went to all the sheriffs and said, pay attention. You guys have this power. You guys have this authority. So do it. And obviously they did. So I don't know how this is going to come out, Danielle. Oh God, I don't know if I can send it. How can I forward this to you?
Ooh, I don't know.
How can I forward this? Anyway, it's one of those. It's a Mockingbird Media. It's like all the local news stations are saying the exact same thing on a specific day.
Do you have a link?
Can you? I'm trying. I forward it to my excellent news folder, and I'm trying to forward it. How can I forward it? Why can't I forward it? I should.
Am I part of that?
It won't send.
I'm going to let Lillian
know.
Yeah,
of course. Okay. Yes, you are excellent in my excellent news.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, Lily.
And this is intelligent, right?
I love you. How are you?
Oh, we love you too.
All the love.
I love you, Lily.
I love you too.
So you've had the chickens. You've had the chickens in the house all this time, and the ducks.
Yes, they were too. They didn't have grown-up feathers yet to go outside, and it kept being cold. So I was having, like, my eyes were swelling up with allergies randomly and stupid stuff. And I finally moved them out, and now it is snowing.
No.
Of course. Do they have some feathers? Are they mostly feathered?
They have finally all their adult feathers now. So they're warm enough, and even though, like, the lamps kind of scare me inside the coop, I moved it out anyway, and I just, like, check on them a lot to make sure fires aren't happening. But I hung it from the ceiling, and it's a tin ceiling, like, so it's metal, and it's not close enough to the straw that I think it would be an actual problem. I'm just a paranoid weirdo, I guess.
Well, you've seen probably pictures of enough coop fires with heat lamps, so it's really not that paranoid of you. So keep checking. I'm not sure I would leave it on at night unless you set an alarm, just because they are dangerous.
Goats will inform you. When I had goats, they would inform us what was going on, because goats are loud. So.
Right? I would love goats. My daughter, I think, would kill me, but I would like to get a couple city goats.
We definitely need goats at our farm. Pygmy goats, I think. But okay, what's the name of the article?
It's not an article. It's about halfway, like March 18th, and it's a bunch of the talking heads from all the local news stations saying the same thing.
Okay, all right. Let's see.
Do you see it?
I'm on March 18th.
Do a search for David. Because that's where it was forwarded from.
From David?
Yeah, believe it or not.
I see it. Oh, yeah, we've played this before. Yeah, hold
on. Is it the same one? I think this is a different one.
Yeah, this is from a couple years ago. But hold on, here we go.
Is this the same
one?
Yep.
There it is. Yeah, and that totally that pretty much sums up. And these people were not, like, they weren't allowed to deviate the script at all. you know, they had to hold their coffee cups in the right way.
They had to say everything over. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Anyway, let's see. There was one final story that I wanted to cover. And, oh, so this is good news. Tennessee State Senate passes bill banning chemtrails spraying in their skies. You know that thing that they said no one was doing? This is from March 21st. Tennessee passed chemtrails, passing SB 2691, the bill which aims to ban the intentional release of chemicals into the atmosphere for geoengineering purposes. Remember what they told us that we were crazy for saying that they were doing it? Guess what? Tennessee banned it. This the legislation is predicated on the claim that it is documented the federal government or other entities acting on the federal government's behalf or at the federal government's request may conduct geoengineering experiments by intentionally dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere, and those activities may occur within the state of Tennessee. This new bill seeks to outlaw any such activities, stating that the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of the state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight is prohibited. So I think
this
is the first in the nation.
I think Maine or New Hampshire did it.
What?
New Hampshire passed one too?
It was either Maine or New Hampshire, but I posted about it. Let me just clarify. Let me look it up, but go ahead. New Hampshire.
It was probably in conjunction because they were – what they couldn't do was – they had a pattern for the sky when obviously people didn't believe that, but they knew there was stuff in the water, and guess what the water requires? The sky. So you kind of can conjunction together. So it was just like if your water is affected, your sky is affected by definition.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how that works.
It's New Hampshire. Prohibiting the intentional release of polluting emissions, including cloud seeding, weather modification, excessive electromagnetic radio frequency and microwave radiation, and making penalties for violating.
Yeah,
because I'm pretty sure me and Danielle watched the Senate hearings on them cloud seeding. Like there was C-SPAN, you know, like testimony about them doing that. So I'm not sure why people were thinking that's fake, but.
Well, Ty, that's
right,
what's on
your head.
You're a nut case conspiracy theorist. Excuse you.
Well, right.
You are
in
that case. That is so not happening, and you're crazy.
Well, first they said it wasn't happening, and now they're saying, well, yeah, it's happening, but it's good for us, you know?
We're talking about climate.
Oh, are we at that phase?
Yeah, it's happening, but, like, you wanted it anyway. Like, it's fine.
You're the one that wouldn't give up your damn cars and your cows, so deal with it.
You're the one who didn't want to be poisoned. It's your fault, really. You made us do this to you.
Well, this is great news that some people are acknowledging it publicly and actually saying, no, we're not going to allow this.
And
that's
exactly what I thought when I read the article, Kate. I was like, okay, so it's obvious we're past the stage where you don't even get to say it if a whole state's legislature is at the place where they're banning that shit, so I'm happy.
And
so
they're saying it live on camera, so it's kind of hard once you say it on camera. It's kind of like, well, you did say it, so.
I know, but.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard at that point.
Okay, but those, you know, those nutty conspiracy theorists, you know, prove it. Show me that they actually said it, that they did it. Whack-a-doodle,
and they're like, here's a patent for it. They're like, that doesn't count. Okay, so you don't want to know. Okay, that's fine.
That doesn't mean they're doing it.
Well, this is the whole thing about outliving the old ways. You know, now we have the internet, now we have other ways of sharing communication, so all the old ways of gaslighting people, it's not working anymore.
Aren't they trying to control
the internet.
Even then it didn't really work that well, but now it's really difficult. They have to try, so.
They have to try, yeah. Give them that.
Okay, so I have two last pieces of good news that I want to share with you guys. So as you know, Judge Engoron, he looks like a little freaking troll, found Trump guilty for a thing that no one's ever been found guilty for, fined Trump with a fine that no one has ever been fined for like that in the United States. And he did it past supposedly a statute of limitations. He did it. The whole thing is awful. So Letitia James got a bond, which means that – so Trump wants to appeal that decision, and he may not win at the first go, but when it gets to the Supreme Court, it's going to get overturned because it's going to go to a New York set of appeals. Anyway, having said that, but before he can actually appeal, he has to pay the judgment, and it has to be in cash. And so has been one of their the things that they want to do all this time. He doesn't have as much money as he says he is. He isn't as rich as he says he is, blah, 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 whatever, which so freaking what? Anyway, but first
Either
of all, he has
James,
to pay this
bond. She's convicted of using a slush fund to fund herself.
Right.
So I don't know what she's talking about. But.
Ridiculous.
She'll be more rich after this.
It went,
she's getting paid off.
So if you remember, he got found guilty for overstating the value of Mar-a-Lago as an asset when he borrowed money. They went into
the
court.
Real
the people
estate?
That he borrowed
what a
money
new phenomenon.
Are you kidding
also,
me?
He
first of all,
he
didn't.
He actually undervalued it. He actually undervalued it.
He did. He actually did undervalue it, actually. But,
yeah.
And the people that lent him the money based on that valuation got their money back with interest.
With interest.
There were,
yes, they
there
did.
Wasn't,
and they want to work with him again. Where was
so
the
no
crime?
One suffered any harm.
I understand.
And there isn't one. There isn't one. These
so
dirty,
ridiculous.
Stinking bastards. So they find him guilty. They fine him and ban him from doing business in New York for 3 years. And they get this abortion of a fine, and he, in order to appeal the case, he has to put up this exorbitant amount of money, $489 billion, or I forget how much it is. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, million.
just enough
million?
To drain the campaign.
Yeah,
just enough to drain the campaign. That's
million,
what they want the campaign drain.
What the hell?
What they want. Yeah,
right. They're trying to starve his campaign of dollars, all of that. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, and then Letitia James said, if you don't pay it, I'm going to start taking your shit. I'm going to start attaching your businesses and locations in New York State. I'm going to start taking your
mm-hmm.
stuff. None of which she can do, and none of it which she should be doing. It's ridiculous. So
yeah, she's
here
out of
we
line.
Are.
She's ridiculously
she's
out of line.
She's totally
and that's why
out of
now
line.
Going down for her bullshit.
One. I caught that.
You're
and I don't
you're
have that
for.
Story.
Your own personal stuff. And now we're coming for you, Letitia. We're coming for you. Don't think we're not.
Just like Fanny.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Sign an affidavit. Make her sign an affidavit on record and walk her back away. Watch her do it.
It's going to be the ultimate fuck around and find out. Sorry for cussing. So, having said all that, tomorrow is the deadline for him to put up the money. Tomorrow is the deadline. Mm-hmm. And guess what else happens tomorrow? Here we go. You guys
Truth
ready for
social.
Some fun?
Yes,
ready.
That's right. Truth Social stock climbs as Trump backers buy to aid president. Stock of Donald Trump's Truth Social platform has soared, valuing the company at around $6 billion as supporters mm-hmm. rally behind the firm expected to go public in the coming days. Guess what else happens tomorrow? It's going public tomorrow.
Yep,
Trump
mm-hmm.
launched Truth
yep,
Social
yep,
as an alternative to So they went after this guy. They censored the president of the United States. Tell me the federal government doesn't have a ton of power over the social media companies. They censored the president of the United States.
Indeed.
And at that time,
they
said,
he's still somehow oppressing
your...
them somehow. It's incredible.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible? Okay. So they said, you know what?
Yes.
Why don't you just go start your own social media company? And that's exactly what he did.
And then
Trump
they're like,
well,
you
Truth
can't
Social
do that. You just told me to do it. You just said
After the platform banned him during his final
off.
Days as president in a coordinated action with other big tech platforms such as Facebook and Instagram. Now with Democrat judges including Arthur Engoron and mm-hmm. Lewis Kaplan hammering Trump with hundreds of millions of dollars in payouts, and penalties as part of an ongoing lawfare campaign the former president may be in line for a $3.5 billion cut when Truth goes public as early as next week. It's going public tomorrow. There seems to be an unwritten agreement between tens of thousands of traders that the more political momentum Trump has, the more the stock should trade higher, commented fund manager Julian Camacho. I don't know how to say his name. Trump continues to lead Joe Biden in America's key swing states ahead of the November election. And I say good. Okay. So my
wait, tomorrow is what?
News.
What is tomorrow, everyone? Astrologically, it's a full moon and the solar eclipse in Libra. Coincidence?
Boom.
Jesus.
Boom.
Bro,
so
yeah,
I will tell you, it's going to take off. The stock in his company is going to take off as soon as it starts trading. He's going to cash it out. He's going to go shove it right up their asses.
Yes, he is. And Libra represents what? Balance, the scales. Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to tell you.
Okay, so here we go. So my final piece of good news is from an article on from March 22nd, again from the Gateway Pundit. You guys know that I absolutely think that they're one of the top-notch, that and Revolver News, news actually producing news. The FDA loses its war, which, by the way, you notice we didn't even know that this case was going on because we have a media that is corrupt as the federal government, okay? FDA loses its war on ivermectin, agrees to remove all related social media content and consumer advisories on ivermectin usage for COVID-19.
Yep.
So the entire time, from one of the ways that they censored us was talking about ivermectin. And
you mean
we all knew, based on the underground information that we were getting, that horse pace. Yeah, that's
people.
It.
People, come on.
This is what we were told. This is what we were told over and over again. And if we did try to fight, what happened? We were censored. Our accounts were taken down. You're killing grandma.
You're human.
And we told them.
And that's why Ty Nightfall no longer exists, because of that bullshit, because of that shit. Because I was calling it out.
Because of ivermectin.
Okay. Wait. And when did they announce this? Was it on Friday when it's a slow news day and everybody has the weekend off and nobody's paying attention? Interesting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Good point.
March 22nd.
Remember the article where
in December 2021, the FDA warned Americans not to use ivermectin, which is intended for animals to treat or prevent COVID-19. Never use medications intended for animals on yourself or other people. This is the FDA. Animal ivermectin products are very different from those approved for humans. Use of animal ivermectin for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19 in humans is dangerous, FDA said at the time. This was a very controversial statement at the time, since the FDA pushed the drug on African migrants back in 2015, and the drug was praised in several scientific journals. There have now been 101 ivermectin COVID-19 controlled studies that show a 62% lower risk in early treatment in COVID-19 patients. A group of brave doctors had filed a federal lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, and the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, over the agency's unlawful attempts to block the use of ivermectin in treating COVID-19. The lawsuit filed in the U.S. Southern District of Texas in Galveston argues that the FDA has overstepped its authority and unjustifiably interfered with their medical practice. The plaintiffs, Dr. Mary Talley Bowden, Paul E. Merrick, and I think you guys will probably remember her name, Mary Talley Bowden, Paul Merrick, and Robert L. Apter, are contesting the FDA's portrayal of ivermectin as dangerous for human consumption. They note that the FDA has approved ivermectin for human use since 1996 for a variety of diseases. However, they allege that with the advent of the COVID-19 pandemic, the FDA began releasing documents and social media posts discouraging the use of the antiviral drug for COVID-19 treatment. We're suing the FDA for lying to the public about ivermectin, said Dr. Bowden. Claims were made that the initial article misrepresented the law by stating the FDA's official stance against ivermectin use without mentioning that doctors were allowed to administer the medicine. U.S. law is cited in the complaint, including the provision that the FDA may not interfere with the authority of a healthcare provider to prescribe or administer any legally marked device to a patient for any condition or any disease within a legitimate healthcare practitioner-patient relationship. Let me read that again. The U.S. law is cited in the complaint, including the provision that the FDA may not interfere with the authority of a healthcare provider to prescribe or administer any legally marked device to a patient for any condition or any disease within a legitimate healthcare practitioner-patient relationship. This is how they lost the confidence of the American people. The medical
because those are private investors
itself.
That all have their stakes in the vaccine. They have their investment in the vaccine. That's why they specifically did
dirty,
it. Specifically.
Stinking bastards.
Also, the other thing is that it was approved. The vaccines were on the market under the emergency use, and that was because there was so-called any other treatment. So they needed
no
to
treatment.
Protect their nuts. Let that out.
Which, of course, circumvents the constitutional rights, because if there's an emergency, the emergency powers it underrides the constitutional foundations, because it's an emergency. So you can do whatever you want in an emergency, and then it underwrites the – that's why we tried to challenge them constitutionally. We couldn't, because there was an emergency act. So first we had to challenge the fact that there was an emergency, and then we challenged the constitutionality after the fact.
Can I just say something else?
But you just told me something I didn't know, Kate. You just say that again. So the emergency for the vaccines was said because what?
Because there was no other officially approved of treatment. So therefore,
correct.
We can go to emergency.
It was a new disease, right? There was a new disease, so nobody knew how to fight it. So therefore, emergency powers were enacted in order to circumvent and then force produce a new thing that nobody had any knowledge of. Because if we knew the disease before, we could have already used it. But we didn't know what it was, right? Nobody knew what it was. We didn't know how it was transmitted. We didn't know how we got it. So therefore, they could circumvent the Constitution with Emergency Powers Acts. That's how they do it.
Right. As long as
there was no other treatment,
which is why there was such a big war on hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin.
Specifically that. And the people that needed it had investment in the vaccines, specifically. So.
Okay, so hold up a second, Ty. I want to kind of process with this. So here we have this treatment, and they kept saying, you're saying, well, there weren't any others. And how they could say that was by silencing hundreds of thousands of doctors.
There it is. That part.
And by censoring Americans and saying, I'm using this med and it's working, and by silencing medical doctors and telling them they couldn't save their fucking patients, they
killed them on a ventilator
hundreds of thousands. Thousands of people died because of these motherfuckers. Sorry,
well,
that's what they wanted.
Yes. So you and I, we all agree that there was a darker agenda going on in the background. But I'm telling you, this is what broke. We are at the precipice because of this right here. Because people couldn't go to funerals. People watched their families die. They were silenced and mocked and sometimes even, chased through stores for just saying their truth.
Mm-hmm. I was getting friends that had fake calls, by the way. Did you guys hear about that? I had people in Denver that were like, they were calling our family nursing homes going, oh, well, they tested positive for COVID. They never took that test. And then they would hang up. They were doing that to people. They were trying to like fake induce it, because there were people that were calling me going, oh, my grandmother tested positive for a test she never took. That seems to be a problem.
Every single bit of it was a lie.
It was very crazy to watch that happen. I've never seen anybody say that to me before. I was like, what do you mean? How can they test positive for a test they didn't take? How is that possible? And then they hang up when you question them. I'm like, yeah, see, you're doing something. You're doing something here. So,
well, and not to diminish the good news about this, that you know, it was an acknowledgement by the FDA saying that, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to take these. We're going to take down, all of the tweets. We're not going to enforce, the social media companies to take down tweets about it. Not only that, but the largest, FDA tweet, like the one that had the most exposure of the, of all the whole FDA, was the one where they're like, you're not a horse, you're not a cow, seriously, y'all, stop it.
Yeah.
So they're going to take all that stuff.
Yeah, they said
so
stop it.
So I'm not going to diminish the good news of this, but the bad news is they settled. The judge
they
never
settled?
Saw the case. There was no ruling on it. So the FDA settled so that there would be no ruling. Sorry to be
because they're not – people think they're a government organization. They're not. They're a privately owned multi-billion-dollar corporate conglomerate, period, in discussion. That's what they are.
Right.
So,
exactly. And they
Can I just for fun read this from Newsweek? It's one of those primary propaganda articles from back in the day. ERs are so backed up that gunshot victims were having a hard time getting to facilities where they can get definitive care and be treated. All of their ambulances are stuck at the hospital waiting for a bed to open so they can take the patient in, and they don't have any. That's it. Any beds, I guess. If there's no ambulance to take the call, there's no ambulance. No ambulance to come to the call. These comments from McElyee have been disputed by at least one of the hospital for which he has worked in the past. Dr. McElyee is affiliated, with the medical staffing group that serves multiple hospitals in the state of Oklahoma. After other news outlets carried his statements regarding ivermectin overdose, one a hospital that the doctor's group serves.
Move for fentanyl. Here comes ivermectin.
Danielle, did you say I was about to say, you mean fentanyl overdoses? That's exactly what that shit was. That was fentanyl. Okay. That was.
Its ER has not treated any ivermectin overdoses. It also noted it has not had to turn away anyone seeking care. So that big thing they were making
afford it,
because
ambulances
overdoses.
Are $43,000, but no, okay, go on.
No ambulance is available because of ivermectin overdose. No ambulance is available. Can you imagine?
Oh, yeah, you have to afford an ambulance, first of all, which nobody could. So.
But perhaps the
growing
real
up in
epidemic here is gunshot wounds. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it says to me, is that there's so many gunshot victims waiting at the front door that they can't get to them.
Remember? We had reports of people that were shark attacks, gunfights, people that watched car accidents, all listed as COVID. Every single person was listed as – nobody died of anything but COVID that entire year.
Remember?
Because we're stupid, apparently. We're that
stupid that
nobody died of anything else other than COVID for 2 years. Idiocy.
And gunshot
wounds. Pure idiocy.
They died of
People watched a live car accident, and then every single person in that car accident was listed as COVID. People were like, you know, we saw that, right? It was on camera. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to stop that shit immediately.
And then you were censored. And then you were censored.
That's ridiculous nonsense.
That's why.
Oh,
okay.
Here's something.
I just want to finish
here's
this
something
article,
else from that
and I
article.
Love you guys because I have to
go. Oh, you got to go.
I do.
We love you.
I do. I just want to – we love you back. I just want to finish up this last statement because it has to do with what Danielle says, the good news about it. It says the Gateway pundit previously reported that during a hearing, the agency's lawyer argued that the FDA was only giving advice, and it was not mandatory when it told people to stop taking ivermectin for COVID-19. So this is how they settled, okay?
Yeah.
The cited statements were not direct. Said Isaac Belfer, one of the lawyers. They were not mandatory. They were recommendations.
They were
mind control. They said what parties should do. They said, for example, why you should not take ivermectin to treat COVID-19. They did not say you may not do it. So this is how they wiggled out of it. Okay,
wiggled out of liable
like,
legal responsibility for the thing they demanded. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. And if you didn't, if you squawked at all, you were censored. That's
yes.
the part why I still believe that the Missouri v. Biden or Murphy v. Missouri case is the most important case in the last 50, 60 years, because COVID and the 2020 election were the most censored. Millions of Americans trying to find out about the health care of their loved ones and which medications they should take, and many died because of that stinking post.
Yeah.
That's why that
yep.
kind of crap should
yep.
never happen again, and that the Supreme Court should, in all justice, find that the federal government cannot go behind American citizens' back and silence their voices in a public square like social media.
Yeah, yeah.
I want you guys to have a great week. I want you to
incalculable how much damage they
incalculable.
Cause it's not even possible. Yeah.
It's not even possible to determine how many people would have, how many lives would have been saved, how many grandmas and grandpas would have been able to, we would have been able to go to their funerals, we would have been able
yep.
to go and visit them. But how many lives, how many people?
Let alone the businesses that were destroyed, the 6.5 million homeless people now.
Let alone the children who were set back months, maybe even
so
longer
ridiculous.
In their educational
so
pursuits.
Ridiculous.
So
no.
keep in mind,
go
remember that
better.
Thing that you posted not too long ago, Ty, about somebody, one of those whiners saying, why didn't they tell us?
Yep, yep.
Remember that little meme you posted a few weeks
yes,
back?
I do.
Why didn't they
I do.
Tell us? They should have told us. Okay, so I sure would love to see that, where you got that from, Ty, just for
I'm trying to figure
for,
out the article. I think it's possible that might have been a trick that somebody might have made, but we have those people that have those sentiments
so.
That were mad. Because I've met a lot
of
people who were vaccinated
that's
and all that that were like, you didn't tell us. You
it,
didn't
Ty,
tell us.
Because...
I'm like, we did. We did tell them. There was a lot of people
okay.
that are still having that mode now. They have regrets. So
I'm going to
okay.
look it up
so,
and see if I
absolutely.
Can find anything. Carlin.
I would love to get that article. Okay, so having said that, I want you guys to have a great week. This has been an excellent discussion. I pray in the name of Jesus that the world continues to keep having these discussions and that we keep speaking the truth no matter how much they try to silence us, okay?
Amen.
Yeah.
You guys have a great week. Yeah. I love you all. Be
okay.
safe,
you
and
too.
I'll see you next
you
week,
too.
Okay?
Woo!
I love you.
Bye,
you
bye now.
Week.
Love you.
Have a wonderful
Bye.
Week. Take care.
Yeah, I do want to make that known. I wasn't sure if that was somebody gave that to me and said it might have been a real article. They weren't sure, but they've gotten a lot of sentiments from that recently. And so I was like, well, we were kind of waiting for the people that regretted it to kind of come forward and kind of be like, well,
you know
we kind of fell for the
you
bullshit. I'm like, okay, well, you did. It's fine, but we're kind of mad about it. So,
hi. You know who I think it was? It was a cartoonist. It was some author who does comic strips. He was talking about it in a video clip of himself that he posted online, and this is pretty much what he said. What does he write, like Calvin and Hobbes or something? You guys
yeah,
remember
that might have
that?
Been the same guy. That might have been him, yeah.
I think that's the person who first kind of said that. The
yeah.
unvaccinated didn't warn us, and we're victimized by you guys for not speaking up, and now I'm scared.
I literally held signs in front of vaccination mobile clinics. Literally held signs.
You
don't
have
to do this.
Yeah, and I'm glad he
actually
leads to that larger conversation, because I have there have been people in private. They don't do it publicly, but they do come up to me privately and go, you know, you were right about all that. I mean, I'm angry about it, but you were right about all those things. I'm like, okay, well, then why didn't you say anything? Because now I'm
yeah.
ostracized and can't even help you. And I can't help you because you scarlet lettered me away from everybody in the populace. So now nobody believes me anyway, even though you just admitted that I was right about that. Isn't that crazy? So we're still
Jimmy
right,
Dore?
But we don't get to be redeemed. We don't have redemption. We don't have
no.
They're just mad
that
they were wrong.
None.
They can't face themselves in their guilt that they were wrong about that. That's crazy to me.
Jimmy Dore says that I can forgive people who were wrong about COVID, but the people who were wrong about COVID can never forgive me about being right.
Exactly.
Thomas
Sowell is like they'll never even like
out.
You being right and them being wrong is mm-hmm. it can't be tolerated. It just can't. They can't physically tolerate
for
that.
Being right, Kate.
So.
Yeah. So the people who were wrong. So the people who were wrong. He said, I can forgive people who were wrong about COVID, but the people who were wrong can never forgive me for being right.
For being right when they weren't, specifically when they were not. Because they made a public show about them being right when they were proven wrong, proven. And now they can't let it go because that's part of their image.
Yeah, they were sanctioned publicly by the media.
It invalidates them on the world stage. This is the problem. Yep.
Yes, the world stage approved of them, condemned us. So they were just going with a flow. They were just trying to be
exactly.
Big people. We were just
exactly.
Killing people.
And because they're the majority, they're the mass or the narrative, they think they get to get out of it, but the harm is still there. So they can still feel the harm. They know it is. It's like they can lie. Like there's the regular populace, but then there's the cosmic laws and the energy cycles, and those things will eat you alive. It will eat you alive until you seek restitution and repentance. You will have to make up for it. You have a karmic debt on the world. Karmic debt. So.
Oh, well said.
All right, so where do we go from
this
here?
This is why I study karmic laws. That's why, because karma doesn't give a fuck. It doesn't care. If you
right.
You can lie, you watch other people, but that's what it is. So.
Right.
Well, speaking of karmic debt, I'll
yep.
contribute a little bit. So recently there was an attack, a terrorist attack in Russia. And
yeah,
here, according to NBC News, no Ukrainian involvement in the deadly attack, U.S. says. Oh, okay. Thanks, U.S., for clarifying that, since you are funding, since the military-industrial complex of the U.S. is funding the Ukrainian war.
But you see what they did, though, with that? They did such
what
a good job.
Ukraine?
They're so good at it. Because you know what they're touting is that they got it right when Russia got it wrong. Because Russia was claiming these other people, and they're like, actually, it was ISIS. You funded ISIS, the
right.
United States.
Yeah.
I don't know who you're lying to, but it's not us. You act like the CIA is like they're a new organization that just popped up out of nowhere. We know who the CIA is. You funded ISIS. You caused it. We know you did. But they think people are too stupid to realize that, so they're trying to invalidate Putin's
well,
his tactical or strategic ideals. No,
right.
You did it. You know you did it.
Yeah. Well, they do think people are too stupid to do that. That people think that Ukraine is a sovereign nation and that we're just helping them defend democracy, and
exactly.
They think that ISIS is this big bad boogeyman that acted independently.
That's independent from the United States somehow.
Somehow.
Despite
yep.
the fact that they were the so-called moderate rebels in Syria. That was actually
exactly.
ISIS. So people, I watched
the
citizen journalist.
So there's two options. Either the CIA didn't know or they did and they allowed it to happen. That's interesting. But they're not guilty of anything? They're not responsible? How interesting. That's an interesting
proposition.
Well,
just like they didn't do the Nord Stream bombing.
Right. No, this is an organization that's a multi-billion-dollar establishment, but it just doesn't know when things happen. It doesn't know.
Hey,
it doesn't
I
know how to prevent them or stop it or anything. How interesting. That's
North
an interesting proposition. That's a very interesting proposition that does not work in reality in any way. Very cute. Very, very cute.
Kate,
so,
what was that you said, Danielle?
I said, Kate, I don't really think that we know who did the Nord Stream bombing, although we totally do. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the Victoria Newland probably put on a wetsuit.
I mean, we're pretty sure
Russia.
That Epstein killed himself somehow. We know he did. We just don't know how he did it. You know,
that's
all a mystery now. Mysterious.
Russia probably destroyed their own multi-billion-dollar infrastructure. That's what happened.
Yep, that makes
exactly.
Sense.
Do you see? That's yep. like, and people just don't know Ukraine history. Like Ukraine has always been independent. Has it though? Has it? You might want to check. I don't think it has. I don't think that's
Please
a thing.
How many people actually said they've always been independent? Please don't. Please, that's not real, right?
No, not at all. But they have to believe that in order to believe that this place is either sovereign or that somehow it's fighting again. No. You all want control of it because you want control of Russia, and Russia's not conforming to you, and that's what it is. That's what it is. And so for people to pretend that the CIA is either on their side or didn't know something is for people to not understand what the CIA is, period. It's that simple. There is no reason for anyone to be trusting the CIA for any reason. For any reason, you're naive and idiotic to even be pitching it. This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The stupidest. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm going to call you out in public for everyone to see and embarrass you. You can't do that. They're not
well,
a new organization. They've been here for 60 years. We know what they're doing. This is an idiocy. You're willful. They call it predetermined ignorance. You're choosing not to know something that you know is true. That's what it is. So,
this is the this is the modus operandi, though, right? This is how,
of course,
the deep state gets things done. Is they have subsidiaries, NATO, ISIS.
They were just subversion and deceit and subterfuge. That's exactly. That's why they're not a government. They're not a government agency. The CIA is not part of the government. It's a shadow criminal organization. They have nothing to.
Right.
You can't have a CIA. Mm-hmm. That's not constitutional. How can you have a
right.
CIA? That's not a thing. That's
totally.
Not a thing.
And Kate, I love that comparison, ISIS and the CIA. A lot of people, it's like mind blown. What do you mean they're the same? They're funded by the same people.
Mm-hmm.
They're created by the same people. But it's totally true. ISIS and the CIA are created by the same people, by the same.
Because where would they get everything from? Where would they get
yep,
it from? How are we getting drugs? Haven't we talked to this long before? How are we getting? We're shipping ourselves Nicaraguan cocaine. Don't be stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Of course they're sending it to us. That's idiotic. That's just idiocy. I don't understand people. I just don't.
Yeah.
I saw a really interesting and this is the thing, is that you have to get news from alternative sources and vet those sources and weigh it. You know, use your discrimination. You can't just believe everything, of course. But there was this girl, Carla Ortiz, I think she has another name now because she's maybe married or something like that. But she would go boots on the ground to Syria and do her own investigative journalism. She went into the caves, the abandoned caves and infrastructure of the moderate rebels. And she just like went in there with cameras and just showed insignia on the wall showing that it was ISIS. That's how I drew that conclusion. It's not always obvious to people, and that's why I wanted to say why I think myself that ISIS is actually affiliated with the U.S. military-industrial complex and NATO and the deep state and all that, all those sort of entities.
I'm just so glad that CNN found Osama bin Laden before the CIA did. It's so nice that they did that for us.
Oh, right.
So
exactly.
So nice. So great.
NBC. It was NBC let us know that there was no Ukrainian involvement in the deadly attack.
Oh, well, I feel safer now.
I do.
Know.
I don't know about you, but I can go to sleep very easily now, knowing that the CIA and FBI are protecting us from celebrities and other people.
Phew.
So NBC News says Russian President Vladimir Putin has delivered a public address calling the attack a barbaric act of terrorism and vowing to punish the perpetrators. He also accused Ukraine of preparing a window to help the suspects escape. Kyiv has staunchly denied any role in the attack. Russia has arrested 11 people, including all four gunmen, suspected of carrying out the attack at a crowded concert venue in a Moscow suburb last night. The head of the country's Federal Security Service has told Putin at least 133 people are now known to have been killed as more bodies were found in rubble. Russia's investigative committee said this morning men in camouflage broke into the concert hall, opened fire, and set the crowded venue ablaze. The death toll is expected to rise. The terror group ISIS has claimed responsibility but did not provide proof of the claim.
Surprise.
Interesting. U.S. officials
Surprise.
Confirmed to NBC News that they had been gathering intelligence for months that ISIS could mount a mass casualty attack in Russia. Let me see that again. NBC News. U.S. officials confirmed that to NBC News that they had been gathering intelligence for months. ISIS could mount a mass casualty attack in Russia, though no final assessment had been made yet about who was responsible. U.S. Embassy officials issued a warning earlier this month urging people to stay away from large gatherings. So they're now terrorizing people in Russia, trying to goad Russia into, you know, increasing the scope of the Ukrainian conflict, even though Ukraine is legitimately a border conflict, and the people in the Donbass getting shelled for 10 years did have a legitimate need for help and protection because they said, well, Minsk Accords, what's the Minsk Accords? We just did that to buy time to arm our self-described white nationalist thugs and trained to native standards so they could kill more people than are ethnic Russians living in Ukraine. So there you go.
How convenient that that attack happened right when they just passed a bill in favor of why they should give more money to Ukraine. What a coincidence.
Yep. I was just
I
about
love
to
the
say.
Coincidences. I love all I the coincidences. All of them. Give me all of them.
How
well,
do you
not
find
only that,
that,
like ISIS is a four-letter word, to Americans, right? That we all have been trained to believe that they're evil, and so
they
now
probably are, but still.
Well, they are, but they're us.
They're
right.
Our thugs. Yeah. Ugh.
Exactly. So
well,
so now.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's trained that they're only evil. That they're like there's nothing. They have no reasons for why they do stuff. They're just acting because they're Russians and evil. Oh, they don't have any reasons? They have no history or background, or we didn't do anything wrong. It's just them, right? It's just them. It's just them mm-hmm. and the Trump people and the MAGA. No, nobody has any reasons why they do anything. It's just we're the holier than thou. We're the Puritans, and everybody else is evil. Yeah, that's the kind of thinking that you end up in a ditch covered in petrol on fire. That's the kind of thinking. So,
right, and they always feel it's the same thing with the vaccines, where they feel empowered to speak out and be really vocal and denounce us. But I don't know.
Especially if they're losing power
pretty,
to somebody that has, especially if you have a point and you're losing power to those people. Well, you have to demonize them somehow. So you got to create scenarios in which they are losing, because they have to have public appeal. They have to have public.
Right.
The moment public
loses
exactly. morale in the people that are actually the people that are claiming to be the heroes, that's when it's over.
And there's so much historical relevance to this because United States doesn't really have an appetite for war, like historically.
Yes.
You know, go back to World War One. Like we didn't want to
no
get in, and then
thinking
of the Lusitania. Like I'm not going to go through all of those, but like United States doesn't want to go into war, and then there's a reason given to do that after 9/11, and we started going to war on terror. Right? Like there's no borders with that. Now all of a sudden, well, mm-hmm. what do you mean? ISIS is in Russia now. So now we need, now that I believe is their ploy to build up public support to go to war, mm-hmm. to send more money for war, because now ISIS, oh, terror. We need to send money, terror.
But did you guys covered silent weapons last time, right? Because there's a complete section for it. Remember, I took tons of notes. War is also a means of not political, but economic leverage. So they're trying to balance out the economy through war. War is a balance of economic principles. So that's why they're doing it. They're trying to leverage the balancing of all of that economic problems here. So and biological warfare for that reason.
It has to be that.
It's shock testing. They're shock testing people. So.
Yes. Lily's been a little silent. If you're around, you've watched or you're knowledgeable about silent weapons for quiet wars, correct?
Yes, and I am here. I'm sorry. I was springing oatmeal out to my cold chickens.
Ooh, you're such
oatmeal.
A good chicken,
okay,
Mom.
We'll take them.
I'm crazy, but they've got to warm up their little bellies. And maybe they'll stay warmer. Amaya, can you close the me because I'm trapped.
Oh, so we played silent weapons last week, and I know that Kate has an understanding of it now. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, I exposed you to that. Like I like to expose people to new information. So I know that you looked at it. I don't really even know how to structure a conversation about this, but Ty definitely started with this. What mm-hmm. do you guys think are the big takeaways and how they, relate back to the things that we're experiencing today?
Can somebody pull up some of the exact verbiage and we can just kind of talk about it?
Ooh,
I found it a little overwhelming. I just looked at it all in one sitting.
I know it's a lot. I mean, that's what I mean. Danielle spent 10 years covering it. It took us 10 years to cover it, by the way, because that's how in-depth this document is. So
I've seen it 15 times, and every time it's, like the sixth sense,
there's
not really.
Stuff,
but,
yeah,
I,
there's
I,
new
I've
stuff
every
time.
Every time.
It's incredible.
Yes.
It's incredible. It really is.
it's huge, and I mean, it is, you know, a controlling factor of all facets of the system that we live within and the agendas. And so, you know, it's like a huge kind of all-encompassing topic.
Totally, totally. And yeah. You know, I think the most relevant thing, honestly, we should definitely go back to individual points where they make the biggest point, the biggest arguments, acknowledgments. But I think the most important thing to take away is that people are currency. There, you know, it's definitely a way that of harnessing human energy. I think that's the main and the biggest point that I took away. And please argue with me about this. But that was my main takeaway, was that they treat people like energy. Our dollar bill, you know, our money is called a currency, because if we did not participate, it would not be electric. It would not work. They are harnessing the collective.
And money is the rule of water. That's what money. A currency is water. It's water flow. Money is water. That's the law of water.
And electricity.
That's what money is. Yes. And like, well, as you said, they have different kinds of energy. They understand that energy. There's different kinds of energy. Social energy is called economics. So this is all a bookkeeping system. It's mathematics. So wow. they're using this as a science, and all science is a means to an end. So, and the means being knowledge, the end being the contract that they're trying to get you. They're doing a beneficiary thing.
It's a very shrewd.
It's a wealth energy. Well, energy is wealth. That's what it is.
Yeah,
so the more energy they can harvest in different ways, the bigger it is. Yeah.
Right.
It's an output-input thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I just looked it up. I could read a little bit, and then we could talk about the actual document.
Please do.
Yeah.
Okay. Political introduction. In 1954, it was well recognized by those in positions of authority that it was only a matter of time, only a few decades, before the general public would be able to grasp and upset the cradle of power, for the very elements of the new silent weapon technology were as accessible for a public utopia as they were for providing a private utopia. The issue of primary concern, that of dominance, revolved around the subject of the energy sciences. Energy. I'll just go into the second part.
Yes, please do.
It helps.
Energy. Energy is recognized as the key to all activity on Earth. Natural science is the study of the sources and control of natural energy. The social science, theoretically expressed, the symbol is economics, is the study of the sources and control of social energy. Both are bookkeeping systems, mathematics. Therefore, mathematics is the primary energy science, and the bookkeeper can be king of the if the public can be kept ignorant of the methodology of the bookkeeping.
Of the bookkeeping. Yep.
Right. Just real quick, Kate, can you tell me what page you're on? Yeah. And I'll try to share this document.
I think it's page two, I'm not sure.
Our group, but I would like to follow along so I can look at the symbol. So you're like, I don't know what the symbol is.
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
Like to
just go to, I went to this thing called famguardian.org/publications/silent weapons/quiet wars.
Yeah, I'm looking
I
at script too.
Either.
No, you're fine. Actually, do you see page numbers on the bottom? Because I think
there's
I've got the document
page,
open.
Page numbers. It's just the heading is energy.
Heading
I guess
is energy.
I did scroll down a little bit. There's
It only goes by sections, and the sections are very only. They're only like two paragraphs each. So.
Well, some of them are longer than others. Page six. If you guys are following along. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh,
all
hold
science
on.
Is merely a means to an end.
Just 1 second. I'm sorry. We've got a long show. So I would just like to make sure that we're exactly on the same page, because I see the energy, political introduction. I don't see any symbols on my page. So can you go back
maybe
to
it says maybe it was a typo. It just says theoretically expressed A larger than symbol economics.
Okay. And this is under energy?
Yes. Do you see that in the first, or no, second sentence under energy?
Both are bookkeeping. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Go ahead. I think we're on the same page, though. So go ahead.
Yeah. It should be the first paragraph of energy, because then it goes into subsections of which energy assets are there. Because there's three different potential kinds, and so it starts getting into the subsections of it. The first should be the first paragraph, that social energy subsection there. It's like the first one.
All right. I see. Yeah. And I don't see any. Oh, yeah. I don't.
Because then it'll fall into biological warfare and potential kinds of energy and what those are.
I see what you're saying now. I see what you're saying now. Like there's like parentheses and like a one or something.
Okay.
I'll just share it for you. You can just look at what I'm talking about. Theoretically expressed A economics, A larger than economics. So like just, I think it might be a typo.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Sorry. Don't want to suck energy on something useless, but all science is merely a means to an end. The means is knowledge. The end is control. Beyond this remains only one issue. Who will be the beneficiary? In 1954, this was the issue of primary concern. Although the so-called quote unquote moral issues were raised, in view of the law of natural selection, it was agreed that a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent.
Consent.
And consent.
Chattel property.
Consequently, in the interest of future world order, peace, and tranquility, it was decided to privately wage a quiet war against the American public with an ultimate objective of permanently shifting the natural and social energy, parentheses, wealth of the undisciplined and irresponsible many into the hands of the self-disciplined, responsible, and worthy few. Oh, my God. In order to implement this
long-haired
objective.
Hippies.
Yeah, how dare you not be. Let's just take your wealth because you're not responsible. In order to implement this objective, it was necessary to create, secure, and apply new weapons, which, as it turned out, were a class of weapons so subtle and sophisticated in their principle of operation and public appearance as to earn for themselves the name silent weapons. In conclusion, the objective of economic research as conducted by the magnates and magnates of capital, parentheses, banking, and the industries of commodities, parentheses, goods and services, is the establishment of an economy which is totally predictable and manipulatable. In order to achieve a totally predictable economy, the low-class elements of society must be brought under total control, i.e. must be housebroken, trained. That's so funny, my cat's meowing while I'm talking about this. Housebroken, trained, and assigned a yoke and long-term social duties from a very early age before they have an opportunity to question the propriety of the matter. In order to achieve such conformity, the lower class family unit must be disintegrated by a process of increasing preoccupation of the parents and the establishment of government-operated daycare centers for the occupationally orphaned children. The quality of education given to the lower class must be of the poorest sort, so that the mote of ignorance isolating the inferior class from the superior class is and remains incomprehensible to the inferior class. With such an initial handicap, even bright lower class individuals have little, if any, hope of extricating themselves from their assigned lot in life. Ugh. This form of slavery is essential to maintain some measure of social order, peace, and tranquility for the ruling upper class.
Yeah.
Mm, that's believable.
So
one second.
Order by isolation. Yep.
Right.
Order by isolation.
This is so helpful, but I would love to, first of all, I have to say hi to the caller. Please press one if you want to be a part of the show, but we're glad you're here. Do we want to, this is so much to digest.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah. Can we stop and talk about
it? Yeah, it'd be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I paused. I thought we could just talk about each section.
Do you want
to
go?
I thought that was interesting.
Do you want to finish energy or no?
That is energy.
Well, no, because it'll start breaking down into the subsections of energy, and so this is just good to get what you all understand as energy, and then it'll break down to what those subsections of energy actually mean in the economic spectrum.
Yeah. And okay.
Well,
and so,
I'll send you guys this link so you know what I'm looking at. Maybe.
Yeah. Please look at the green room. I sent
different.
The thing that I'm looking at to the green room also, which is the full document. I also put it in the Freedomizer chat if anybody wants to go there and see it, follow along. You know what, Kate? Why don't you go first? Because you know you're the one that did the reading. Yeah.
Well, one thing that stuck out to me was this thing about getting people so bogged down in life that they can't even be parents. And so the state has to sort of parent the kids. I thought that was interesting. Also
by
kind
design.
Of reminded me of the whole Noam Chomsky thing about wage slaves. People who are so tired out at the end of the day, they don't even pay attention. That's a great tactic for just controlling people.
For sure.
What is the exact verbiage? The public, just to its, well, that's the next one. Sorry. So, that stood out to me. Quality of education given to the lower class must be inferior. This is just, it feels, I don't know who read this or what the origin is, but it feels truthful. It resonates because that's what's happening. And like just the underclasses are so, I don't know. It's hard to move up. That's been proven. You can't make money without having money.
Yeah,
so
it's oppression.
They're not educated
and it's
how to. Class oppression. Yeah. Yes. It's I don't know. What are your thoughts about it, Danielle?
Well, it basically gives a scientific definition for what we all feel, why we all as a society feel so icky, feel like things are wrong, feel, you know, you see homeless people every day. I do here.
Here too.
This reality is so ugly, and we are more pressed, I guess. And oppression is like, it's such a hot topic word, you know, like I don't like just like global warming. I don't even use global warming. I use, you know, climate contamination. Right. But, you know, oppression is such like a weaponized word that I tend to not use it, but it is a definition for something that most of us feel. It's not divided by race. It's not divided by, you know, sex, sexual orientation, gender, whatever. It's not defined by any of that. It's defined by who can afford, your energy, like, so who has enough energy to deal with the world versus the rest of us, right? And so basically what they're laying out is this, first of all, collective consciousness, you know, vibe that collectively our energy is being taken mostly from the lower class, right? like one of my Me and Ty's favorite kind of like Downton Abbey. If you haven't seen it, you should see it immediately. But like a really great example of, you know, like cultural, like now is like people can see what's going on with Downton Abbey is that one of the main characters is this high society grandma. And, you know, it is asked, you know, somebody said to her like, oh yeah, I can, you know, I can get to it on the weekend. And she looks around and goes, what's a weekend?
It's that violent.
You know, like, it's
hilarious.
But that's the difference. Like there's the people on top and then the people who give all of their energy, most of their energy, to the system that keeps that woman not knowing what a weekend is, because she doesn't have to expend the amount of energy that's required from the lower class. Like, can you define that as oppression?
I hear you about Downton Abbey. That's a clear example of a class system at work in story form. This is grotesque. I mean, I can't imagine Aunt Violet saying that the people who are the servants are beasts of burden and steaks on the table by choice and consent. Like, this is way worse than Aunt Violet.
Well, they're a faction of her. They're an extreme faction of her. But she's more of like a product of them. But she's also,
yes.
Because also the elite are also, well, the upper classes are also products of the controlled few. So they're not necessarily all in on it. You know what I mean? Not necessarily.
Right.
They're just everyone is a product of it, which gives them culpable, you know, liability in which to be like, oh, well, I didn't know either because they didn't really. They're also products of it. So it's very hard to pinpoint who the actual villain is. That's why they don't really have a name. They don't want to be named because then you could spot them. They have no name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why they specifically choose no name for that reason. So,
they're in the shadows. Yes.
You're in the shadows.
So
that's why they work.
They work on
energy control, energy transference. That's what their thing is.
And Downton Abbey had those nice, well, they had a whole story arc of the family starting to lose their fortune and trying to keep the people on to actually give them employment. They had some different facets.
Yeah, and the countess was really evil. She just had propriety. And a lot of that propriety actually is stuff that we're trying to get back to today, right, with consent. Well, she teaches, if you watch down, she teaches when to touch people, when not to touch people, which flowers are a right person. She's very considerate of other people's things. It's just that she's very strict and you know, discernment.
She's very strict
about
other
people. Nowadays, we want to be all involved in people's stuff, and then we're surprised when we're outraged about them knowing everything. I'm like, well, back in the day, you had to be private, but now we don't respect privacy anymore. Isn't that interesting? So
it's very interesting. The caller decided to raise his or her hand, so I'm going to let them in. Hello.
Sorry, that's the cat.
I was really hoping it was just a cat that called in. I was like, please tell me a cat called me right now. Please tell me.
Please tell me this is hard.
I want a cat to say it.
Well, you're here. I'm going to just go ahead and mute you again because I don't know if your caller. Yeah. But back to this discussion, which is awesome. That purr was amazing. Anyway, but like that means that they're appreciating the show. So,
yeah. Sorry, I can make her leave too if it gets out of hand.
Okay, very good.
So yeah, this is all very interesting. This is kind of an intro. Here we are. You guys are the poor people. You're disorganized because you're poor. So we better
because you don't have the energy.
Help you. We better help take. Utilize you. You're not organized. We gotta get you into order and take your energy.
Right.
Wouldn't want that to go to waste for you. You don't need that. You're just a schlub.
No,
a steak on the table.
Right. Exactly. Well, and that's why I bring up the Downton Abbey metaphor, because that woman that woman knows the ways of life, but I don't think that grandma, you know, would be able to not know what a weekend was if it was not for the oppressed, for the underclass, right? So she's so
to be fair, that was the same time. Because those were new dynamics that were coming. Remember, this was after the Titanic happened, and the person she learned that from was someone who married into the family that was now doing business for themselves apart from the aristocracy. So that's a new thing. I mean, the Americans had just come into play at this point. This is old British money. So that was a new thing that was coming up where people had weekends and telephone was being introduced and a centralized lighting that was not based off of candlelight.
The railway system was around that time too, right? Just, you know,
happening all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Change of century.
So we were being, you know, introduced to so much technology, so much more that ran
abruptly on
currency. Ran on currency. And it was us. And that's like kind of like, I guess at the very end of the day, which is what, you know, I say that this, what this manual is laying out is the ultimate goal to harvest our energies. And I can tell you as I'm not going to take long, but like as somebody who like when my children are almost grown, but when I was a new mom, I was a single mom of two children, right? And I was using and I didn't get child support. I wasn't, you know, so I had to utilize every single ounce of my energy to make sure that me and my children didn't go hungry, you know, didn't go homeless, right? I can tell you that at that time in my life, I was a raging liberal, and with the amount of energy that I had to utilize just to maintain a life as a single mom of two is unachievable for normal people to be able to be informed, you know, because that was a really important point was the lack of consent, right? That as a single mom running a dental, saw something on CNN, that was my trusted source of news. I didn't have the time or the energy to look into anything I voted for Obama. So I really did think I believe the Hopi Changey thing, right? But that's because I had no time to actually look up what was really going on. Ty certainly energized because take a breath.
Yeah, we can't hear you, Ty.
The internet you're now a robot, but
Give me a minute, then. Give me a minute.
You're good now.
Yeah, that's better.
Are you good?
Okay. Are you speaking?
You're talking about no child manufacturing. Right, that's what you're talking about.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a sign that I was right, but.
That's so
interesting. Give me a minute. I'm here in the back, so I'll listen for a minute.
That's so interesting, Danielle, that you were a raging liberal and then you had this change. I'm sorry. I'm sure you've talked about it a million times on your show, but what do you think was the turning point for you? Was it COVID or other clues? What clued you in?
Well, okay. Dentistry actually was the first thing. I mean, I ran dental offices for 10 years and like it is, and I have talked about it before, but I found out a big truth. And that was, and this was a long time ago. I mean, I think 2012, 2013 was the last time I worked in dentistry, right? But I did after a whole career, 10 years of running, you know, dental offices, doing insurance, doing, you know, front office, back office, assisting, x-ray license, corona polishing license, you know, the whole thing. I could run a dental office and I could be an assistant and I could sterilize all of the things except for actually like drilling. I knew in and out how to run a dental office. And I knew for a fact that dental insurance is different and medical insurance doesn't cover teeth.
Yep.
Well, that's wrong. I found out after 10 years and being a dental insurance expert, I found out that and going through it because when I was a child, I had a severe overbite to the point where the state of California I was on state because my mom was in jail. But the state of California paid for me to have braces and have teeth removed, oral surgery, like all of these things that are like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and that poor people can't really afford. Let's be real. And I was back, you know, just one of those thinking back on my life, like, oh my God, of course I knew that braces were covered if it was phrased in the right way, if it was coded in the right way. Mm-hmm. And the last dental job that I ever had was, well, besides, you know, just consulting, was a doctor who wanted to, he was not a prosthodontist, but like did major surgeries, had a denture lab in his office. Like it was a big production and did implants all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Wanted to make his practice as profitable as possible before he left, before he retired.
So
So industry standard at the time was to put in an MRI machine because every time we wanted an implant, we would have to send them off. This is, you know, the standard of dentistry at the time, send them off to a radiology lab, you know, to get mm-hmm. a 3D image to make sure you're not going to hit any nerves, which was a big deal. And so to make his practice profitable, get an MRI machine. And so mm-hmm. we did that, and they, you know, these are very expensive. So I'm like, okay, dental insurance has like $2,000 a year maximum, right? So I go to the rep and I say, what do you know of any codes, dental insurance codes, that we can bill under to get these paid for? And he's like, yep, I sure do. Blah, 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 prints it out. And it's two sets of codes as a quote unquote dental insurance expert that I've never seen in my entire 10-year career. And I've been doing this for a long time. And so I do some more research and I find out that dental insurance has a completely different set of codes and terminology so that dentists who come out of medical school, dental school, knowing that they're doctors of something, of dentistry, that's what they're, you know, but they're also regular doctors, same with ophthalmology, but that's a different subject, that they come out of medical school and they say somebody fell flat on their face and that was trauma. And so that is why we need to do this procedure. And medical insurance always denies, right? Because in dental insurance, we don't have diagnoses. It has nothing to do with dental. That there's no diagnosis when you bill this $2,000 a year subsidy, right? And so I'm like now starting to like think about this and like, you know, research it, take classes on it. And I find out that these patients that haunted me throughout my career, like this one woman who had her first six teeth congenitally missing. And had to take out a second mortgage on her home to get to not look. Or this one woman who did government service for her entire life and has stage 4 kidney cancer. And then because of the radiation and chemo, her teeth are shot and has to have like root canals and crowns in every tooth in her mouth, right? So she clears out her retirement, you know, to pay for this. You know, like, or even just like the salesperson who was running up a flight of stairs, and she's very pretty, but that's what you kind of need sometimes in sales. Running up a flight of stairs, cracks her face, falls, cracks her face, breaks off the first two teeth. You know, all of these things are covered under medical insurance. All of that is covered under medical insurance, but like. There is this disconnect between dentistry and medical. And this was like my whole, you know, career, what I put all of my energy, what I put more energy into, rather than being with my kids because they had to go to daycare because mama had to work, you know, this is exactly what
we just read.
Yeah. That's what I had to, you know, as this person who, Yeah. And I'm wondering, people, this was a very like kind of long explanation and very specific, but I'm wondering how many other people listening to this realize that we kind of wasted our energy on things that we shouldn't have, you know, like.
That was your industry. Yeah. So it makes sense. I mean, there's a whistleblower from every industry. Mine was entertainment. It's the same thing. It's just you come to realization through working in that this is not what said was. Well,
yep.
See, here's something behind
now you're breaking
it's
up.
Really what it is.
You're breaking up. Yeah, but I get you. And that's something that, like, of course that was not the end of my journey. You know, I was still a raging Democrat mm-hmm. then. It was really kind of Bernie Sanders that like woke me up to a lot of it. Like, but I went from running dental offices, you know, to saying, you know what, if the one thing that I can do is make it so people don't have to live with a toothache or their mouth hurting, then I've made a difference in this world. You know, there's so many people out there that just their mouth hurts. And this is what we eat. We, you know, like the mouth is like the gateway mm-hmm. to the rest of the body. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So there's so many people out there that have to live with pain in their mouth.
Infection.
Mm-hmm.
That can kill you. That's life or death. That is medical. I've been thinking about that too. Why is it separate from medical insurance? It shouldn't be.
Not.
That's a total racket.
Insurance in general, right?
Right. Well, just so you know, like, and I'm not stating that medical insurance is the be-all, end-all. But basically, it's just a system. And I can tell you that once I mastered this concept and had a doctor behind me that would do it, that would try it, there was one woman who, just one patient who came in, and she had periodontal disease. If you guys know what that is by chance.
Yeah, I almost had that for a minute, but then I stopped being stupid. So.
Like gum disease?
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
It's gum disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really, if you don't, like what we say in dentistry is that if you don't have a strong foundation, it doesn't really matter what's going on in your teeth. You could have the best teeth possible and they'll fall out, right? If there's no strong foundation. So this woman had periodontal disease, but it was stable. She was coming in every 3 months. 3 or 4 months to have her teeth cleaned and her gums cleaned out. And she came in for her 3 month checkup cleaning, and she had gone from controlled to progressive and lost, was about to lose 3 teeth. Right. And so I'm like new to this, like sleuth,
wow.
Right. House MD kind of style. Not really, but I'm like, why in the world would, you know, so I'm looking through her health history, and there's this one side note that said from a hygienist, and I'm like, well, why would you have a mastectomy if you didn't have cancer? And so I asked her, did you have cancer? Yes. Did you have chemo and radiation? Yes. And I, using those codes, I had an approval for like a $15,000 implant surgery in less than an hour. You know, and so definitely worked.
Bless you.
Well, thank you. But of course, our missions have morphed from there. But that's really where it started. That's where like there was this whole industry of that we could help
corruption.
People, but we don't, and we don't know how.
There's another thing that kind of goes along with that, with drugs that aren't covered by insurance. Doctors can write a prior authorization, but they have to use codes also. They have to understand the codes. And a lot of doctors just don't tell patients about this, and they don't educate themselves on the codes, and they don't bother. So,
yep.
It's similar.
Totally.
It's similar. It's like, Do doctors care? They make it so complicated. I never knew that you could get a prior authorization before a couple of years ago to cover the cost of bioidentical thyroid, which is highly frowned upon the system wants you to take synthetic thyroid, and they say you're going to kill yourself if you take bioidentical thyroid. Like, no, it's just too old of a drug to patent in the way that you want to. And so you want to say that it's bad. Also, it's supposed to prevent heart disease. It was another one of those drugs that was smeared after it had been used even to treat depression. And it was prescribed based on symptoms rather than the thyroid test. And the thyroid test didn't take into account how the mitochondria was absorbing the thyroid. It only took into account how much of, you know, certain chemicals were in your system that are, like, telling the brain to secrete the thyroid. It's kind of confusing, and I don't quite understand it. But my point is just that it's really hard to find a Western medical doctor to prescribe bioidentical thyroid. And when you do, they are at liberty to get your prior authorization so you don't have to pay through the nose. And most of them, they don't know this or they don't bother. You have to know and you have to ask for it or you're not going
to You have to be an advocate for yourself. You can't just rely on them to do it.
Always.
Or you wouldn't know any of this stuff. And that, you know, and I do kind of know about this because of what I do, you know, because of the dentistry. Like, and we had conscious sedation stuff. There's, so I totally understand what you're saying. It's just, I think, like, ample proof that you kind of have to be an expert in everything in order to
survive
to be well.
Normally,
you know? To be well,
yeah.
To be whole.
Because otherwise they will balance out the economy through your death.
Right. Or you're struggling, right? Or you're struggling, right? Like, because
that's the only way they can do it. Because if it's a welfare state, then your energy is what their currency is. So, like, the less of you there are, the less of you they have to deal with, and they can balance out the books through you not being here.
Right.
So.
And that's kind of why, like, I say, you know, often that if we are going to find our way out of this, I don't want to say climb because we've always been equal. If we're going to find our way out of this, we have to change our perspective. We have to look at things differently, experience things differently. And I think enough people right now, that's why it's not, we don't call it the awakening, that through the amount of people who are waking up to all of the subjects that we've been railing against for a very long time. We still win. We're still on the precipice of winning, and we do win. Videos or audios like this, documents like this, it really kind of nails down what's going on. But what are we doing to change it personally and societally is the main thing we should be focusing on. And really that's why I have the show, right? So what do I think needs to change immediately for us to change our energy? We need to take back resources, starting with food, news, and health, right? And so that's kind of what I dedicate my life to. I plant food all the time. I've got, you know, I don't want to say I've got food locked down, you know, but I'm trying every day to help expand people's knowledge about how to take back food security. News, right? Check. We're doing this show right now, and this is what I do weekly to expose people to information, proper information, and health. Because when you do those two things, you get back your health. Like, 1 + 1 = 2. If we take back those first two, the third one will follow.
It's giving people back their consent and control, because that is the diversion primary strategy. It's profit equals confusion. So until they can establish dominance, they need absolute consent. Until they get his consent, because consent is the energy release mechanism of control, until they get that, they cannot win. It's not possible for them to.
Yep.
How can anybody consent if you're talking about a person like a steak mm-hmm. on your table and you're going to eat them? How can you say they're consenting to it when you're just manipulating them into having a life that's exhausting, convoluted, no time to even be a parent, barely getting by financially in order to pay rent, have children, feed them, feed yourself, have medical care? How are you consenting to that? Like, what?
It's not informed consent. It's not informed consent, but it is consent. Also, silence is consent. So if you say nothing, that is all. They lead, because remember, they're Leviathan, so they lead by assumption. So they, if you give the appearance, that's what Carnegie said, or Rothschild said, if you lead by the assumption of control, or if you pretend that you're the authority, people will eventually come to give you that control for that reason. Because if we support a welfare system where we don't take responsibility and they take responsibility for us, then they get to determine how that works. It really is that simple. That's how it works. That's how social welfare programs are. They're open-ended credit balance systems. So they create false capital industry based off of our energy. Do you see how they do that now? That's how they do it. That's essential to economics.
You want medical care, so you say, I'm going to have Medicaid or whatever kind of yep. social system, and then they say, well, then you're consenting to...
Then you're consenting to our rule of it. I mean, whoever plays the... I mean, you pay the piper. The piper plays the tune. So, mm-hmm. I mean... So
yeah,
welfare
like,
system, they get to dictate how that you're giving yourself as a ward of the state. You're indentured servant, indentured servitude, prisoners of war. That's what you are. You're saying you can't control it, so therefore they have to control it for you. That's what you're saying. That's why we're so against socialism and these welfare systems, because that's what is enslaving you. They're not enslaved. They can't enslave you unless you give them. Say you outnumber them. You outnumber them 2,000 to 1. I mean, how can they do that unless you consent to them? How can you? Because as you said, Noam Chomsky's in what is it? Manufacturing consent. So therefore, we'll give up our rights for temporary privileges, because we don't want to take the personal responsibility to do that. We want mommy and daddy to take care of us, to make sure we're safe and providing our food. And so if we do that, they're the ones who get to, because we're not doing it. Because it's not their responsibility to do it. It's ours.
But
we're adults too, right? But we won't do it. So if we won't do it, they have to do it. If somebody has to do it, somebody has to.
They made the system so convoluted and difficult that you throw up your hands and you say, I can't do it. I need help.
Exactly. They make it tedious and hard so that you give up morale, and then they do it for you. That's why they're doing it. They're doing it on purpose. Everything they do is on purpose. They don't just do things. People think that they're ignorant. They're not ignorant. They're feigning ignorance. They're pretending they don't know because the alternative is wickedness. That's what they're doing. So when people go, oh, they don't understand the First Amendment. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They just don't want – they want you to think that they don't, because then you can't hold them accountable for it. That's why. You can't hold ignorant people accountable. You can only hold wicked people accountable. That's why they're pretending not to know things. They know that they know. They know it. They can't. How could they take an oath of office if they didn't know that? Of course they know. Of course they do. Confusion equals profit. Confusion equals profit. Never forget. Never forget that. So
they thrive in
confusion. That's what it is. So
paying all that money to kill people in Ukraine, billions of dollars, but people are homeless here. Hello, that's just like basic, like everyone should be outraged. It's like,
exactly. And that's why that's not money. The U.S. dollar, the petrodollar is not real money. It's a promissory note in favor of actual money.
Exactly.
It's backing against nothing.
That's why they do that. And so therefore
it is a negative thing, which is inflation. And therefore they can use your energy harvesting as to kind of get up from it. That's the whole point of it. Because it's not real
they
money. There's nothing backing it. So
they used our energy to sodomize Gaddafi in the streets. Like, they used that money to starve children.
We came,
in
we saw, he
Yemen.
Died.
Oh, please don't make me play it. I have it on tap. I won't play it.
Yeah, they do. That's how they work. This is the political structure. This is, I mean, and mind you, that's why we were reading about energy sources. When you start to realize what they mean by energy sources, that's what they mean literally. They mean mathematically. They mean input, output. That's what they mean. Potential energy, kinetic energy, and energy dissipation. They mean literally mathematics. They're using a mathematical formula to impress you. You see what I'm saying? They're using science as to an end. Science is not for you. It's for them. So
what's the mechanism also where they are designating, and somebody tell me if they understand this, because I only understand it a little bit. They designate money for Ukraine, but really what they're doing is they give that money to the weapons manufacturers. So it is not going to Ukraine, a lot of that.
Because that's the balance of the economy. War is always means to balance the books. That's the only function of war is to balance the books, because they've already inflated the currency beyond its natural means, silver and gold, which does not change value. So the promissory note is to balance out them inflating the currency beyond its means. That's why they're doing that. Because remember, you are capital. You energy and you are that. So if they destroy you all, that balances out the books for them having to give the energy or the money back to the people. Because there's too many people that are in need. So if there's less people in need, they don't have to balance the books because you're all dead.
That's ghoulish. It's absolutely ghoulish and grotesque.
Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Yeah. They're Leviathan. When we say Satanist, that's what we mean. People think we mean worshiping the devil. No, we mean that. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
The news doesn't report on how bad it's been in Ukraine for the Ukrainian people.
They wouldn't, because they control that. That's an arm of their wing. That is the function of the private, the public relations sector to control the public mind. They need to control you. Complete dominance. Complete dominance.
Yes.
Do you understand? Of everything.
If people knew, they would not give their consent.
Correct. There's a difference between.
Ty got overexcited. Strong. I think.
Our case was so strong in COVID for that reason, was because informed consent is different than just consent. Because if they're using coercion, duress, bribe, blackmail, or threat, that's not consent. It's not informed. It's little.
Well,
and therefore it can be rebounded on you.
Should we go a little deeper into this silent weapon?
Invalid contract. It's fraud. It's fraud. It's textbook fraud, and they can be destroyed for that reason. In the cosmos, along with legal.
Yeah, let's do a little more silent weapons.
Okay. Descriptive introduction of the silent weapon. Everything that is expected from an ordinary weapon is expected from a silent weapon by its creators, but only in its own manner of functioning. It shoots situations instead of bullets, propelled by data processing instead of chemical reaction, parentheses, explosion, originating from bits of data instead of grains of gunpowder, from a computer instead of a gun, operated by a computer programmer instead of a marksman, under the orders of a banking magnet instead of a general, Terry General.
Correct.
It makes no obvious explosive noises, causes no obvious physical or mental injuries, and does not obviously interfere with anyone's daily social life. The public cannot comprehend this weapon. Oh, wait, let me go up a bit. Yet it makes an unmistakable, quote-unquote, noise, causes unmistakable physical and mental damage, and unmistakably interferes with the daily social life, i.e. unmistakable to a trained observer, no one knows what to look for. The public cannot comprehend this weapon and therefore cannot believe that they are being attacked and subdued by a weapon. The public might instinctively feel that something is wrong, but that is because of the technical nature of the silent weapon. They cannot express their feeling in a rational way or handle the problem with intelligence. Therefore, they do not know how to cry for help and do not know how to associate with others to defend themselves against it. It sounds like social engineering. When a silent weapon is applied gradually, the public adapts to its presence and learns to tolerate its encroachment on their lives until the pressure, psychological via economic, becomes too great and they crack up. Therefore, the silent weapon is a type of biological warfare. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, understanding, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, and emotional strengths and weaknesses. Interesting. I'll read that last bit again. It attacks the vitality, options, and mobility of the individuals of a society by knowing, standing, manipulating, and attacking their sources of natural and social energy and their physical, mental, emotional strengths and weaknesses. Ooh.
Natural being the word. Because what they're creating is called an artificial womb, an artificial womb. So the natural order is being subverted by artificial means. War, the protection of the artificial womb. That's what it is. That's why they do it. That's exactly what it is. They're creating an entire matrix, a society, a simulation in favor of them using natural law principles inverted against itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, the steak on the plate has to behave.
It has to.
Right. Who wants a weekend?
Bad. What's that?
I said, what's a weekend?
Weekend? What's the weekend?
What's a weekend?
What's the weekend, darling? Yeah,
and that was and of course that was to do what? That was enforcement of breaking down the household. Household, by the way, is a form of energy transference. Households are their own corporations in a way. They want to break down the mother, the father, the sister. They want to use them. They want to use that energy for their own means. System analysis. When we get to the system analysis part, you'll get understand. I mean they broke down every single facet of assets and liabilities of human behavior. They have it ready. It's mathematical. You understand? That's why it's so hard to fight them on it. That's why we keep trying to tell them, you're not going to outmaneuver these people. You're not going to be like, I'm going to whine on Facebook and that's going to do it. Screw you.
Right.
No, that's not going to work. It's not going to cut it. They know what they're doing. They're 140 steps ahead of you at all times. They thought about it before you were even born. They know. Okay? You're not going to catch them off guard. You're just not going to. You just have to learn what their system is and then work around it. So
exactly. This is literally the document that shows us what their plan was, you know, even way back in the day. Like they, yeah, all right, go ahead. Let's continue a little bit. Unless Lily's around and has something to say, I think we should continue.
I'll just say that it is listening. Oh.
Sorry. Lily's just like the silent. She is kind of a silent weapon, but for us.
She's silent, but strong.
Mm-hmm.
Using us for energy. Oh, no, now I'm using all the jargon of silent weapons.
Well, right.
Oh, but my gosh.
I think I kind of feel like I'm, like, we're showing you something you haven't seen before. Not now, but, like, before the introduction of this document, right?
I watched the film where the guy read the entire thing, and I have to say, I fell asleep twice. The voice
Why do you
so
think I've watched
monotonous.
It 15 times?
It was like such a slow kind of regular voice. Like that is a technique for hypnotizing people, by the way. Like you can even do it to yourself to get yourself in a hypnotic trance. Like if you're trying to go to sleep, you just talk
Why do you
to
think
yourself,
nobody listens to Noam Chomsky? That's why nobody listens to Noam Chomsky, because he's just monotone.
Plus he loves the vaccine, right?
Well, I mean, he's a gatekeeper, but still.
Yeah, he went there. Who knows what happened there, but anyway. This is so fascinating to me just to get this feel for the fact that all this stuff is intentional. Like you wonder, why does society suck so much? Why is it so hard to get proper healthcare or housing or just wake up and feel good? This makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it? It starts clicking those buttons. Those buttons start clicking. You're like, oh, wait. That's what I call it, the rabbit hole. Because then everything links to everything. And they're like, you're being paranoid. No, we're finding links between things that are seemingly unconnected. They are connected. You just don't want us to believe they are. But they are. They are factual.
That's why I started with dentistry. Honestly, like, whoever thought mm-hmm. that my connection, the first little peek down the rabbit hole had to do with dentistry, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, wait, didn't we all have different subjects? That's the whole point. How did we all meet then? If this is such a weird conspiracy theory that we all met at the same point, even though we all worked in different entertainment or different industries, wildly different industries. That's kind of interesting, huh?
Well,
that's kind of weird how that happened. So,
Bernie Sanders sheepdogging. We all fell for the Bernie Sanders narrative. I believe it was real to a point, and then it was just used as manipulation. But I think that's how we all kind of connected in a way.
Well, we needed confirmation that the DNC was not for us. Because before, liberals were convinced the DNC was for them, and then they proved through court records that they're not. And we were like, okay, that's all we needed. Bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, they were using him to bring young people into the party, and then they
didn't think we were, because we've never called their bluff before. They're like, "Oh, you'll just vote for us no matter what," because they thought we would do, because we've always done that. We're like, "If you elect this harpy of a woman, there's gonna be a problem. We're not allowing you to do that." They're like, "Yes, you will. Are you sure?" And then Trump won. They were like, "Oh, they actually did call our bluff this time. Yeah, we sure did. We sure did. Don't you? You're not just gonna throw any deranged harpy you want in front of us. That's not gonna happen." So,
well, a lot of that had to do with the WikiLeaks revelation.
Bernie Sanders drowned her in votes at the primary, and everybody knew it. And so the fact that they just were like, no, we would prefer her. We were like, no, see, now you're not going by our will. We're done. We're done. You're not better than the Republicans just because it's you doing it. You're also as bad, so therefore we're going to teach you a lesson. So we taught them a lesson, and they're still bitter about it today. That's why they're punishing us that even more now. They're trying to turn everybody against Donald Trump for that reason. That was their main focus, because they were like, oh, wow, we thought we could just do whatever. We thought we could just ram because the word liberal was thrown out. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not going to happen. So
they were going to use Donald Trump as a Pied Piper to just, oh, he's the easy one to defeat.
No, as a scapegoat.
So ridiculous. He's just
he gets to be the scapegoat for all the liberal failures and rage, because they won't direct it to the people that they actually trusted and liked, because that would mean that they were duped. So they're not going to do that. So they're going to blame it on this one person. That's what they call scapegoating. Scapegoating originally meant a tribe would drive all the sins and evil things onto a goat and then drive it into the desert to die of thirst and hunger, and they thought they would really it's religious. It's superstitious garbage. It's not going to fly. You don't get to scapegoat Donald Trump on your failures. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. Liberals need to accept fault for the things they supported. It's that simple. So...
I
said I'm still in favor of starving reptilians.
Maybe we can have them on our dinner plate too.
Oh, I'll continue.
Theoretical introduction. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not. Who makes the laws?
Indeed. Good talk.
And that's from Mayor Amschel Rothschild, 1743 to 1812.
Technology. I'll say that again.
Rothschild is a reptilian. Is that what you said?
I think so. My opinion. It's my opinion.
Gotcha.
No comment.
I would believe it. I have no idea. But yeah, he's got that vibe. Today's silent weapons technology is an outgrowth of a simple idea discovered, succinctly expressed, and effectively applied by the quoted Mr. Mayor Amschel Rothschild. Mr. Rothschild discovered the missing passive component of economic theory known as economic inductance. He, of course, did not think of his discovery in these 20th century terms. And to be sure, mathematical analysis had to wait for the second industrial revolution, the rise of the theory of mechanics and electronics, and finally, the invention of the electronic computer before it could be effectively applied in the control of the world economy. Mr. Rothschild's energy discovery. What Mr. Rothschild had discovered was the basic principle of power, influence, and control over people as applied to economics. Interesting. That principle is when you assume the appearance of power, people soon give it to you. Good call, Ty. You were saying that before. Mr. Yep. Rothschild had discovered that currency or deposit loan accounts had the required appearance of power that could be used to induce people, inductance with people corresponding to a magnetic field, surrendering their wealth in exchange for a promise of greater wealth instead of real compensation. They would put up real collateral in exchange for a loan of promissory notes. Mr. Rothschild found that he could issue more notes than he had backing for, so long as he had someone's stock of gold as a persuader to show his customers. Mr. Rothschild loaned his promissory notes to individuals and to governments. These would create overconfidence. Then he would make money scarce, tighten control of the system, and collect the collateral through the obligation of contracts. The cycle was then repeated. These pressures could be used to ignite a war, then control the availability of currency to determine who would win the war. That government, which agreed to give him control of its economic system, got his support.
World War II.
Collection of debts was guaranteed by economic aid to the enemy of the debtor. The profit derived from this economic methodology made Mr. Rothschild all the more able to expand his wealth. He found that the public greed would allow currency to be printed by government order beyond the limits, inflation, of backing in precious metal or the production of goods and services. Apparent capital as paper inductor. In this structure, credit, presented as a pure element called currency, has the appearance of capital, but is in effect negative capital. Hence, it has the appearance of service, but in fact indebtedness or debt. Okay. It is therefore an economic inductance instead of an economic capacitance.
It's speaking in terms of electronics, so capacitors and inductors.
Oh, great. Thank you. It is therefore an economic inductance instead of an economic capacitance, and if balanced in no other way, will be balanced by the negation of population, war, genocide, like you were saying, Ty. The total goods and services.
That's a confusing. Well, I just wanted to make sure people were like, "What is all these? These are all electronic terms. That's why I'm using them."
Okay, I think I understood. You were breaking up, but I think I'm intuiting what you were meaning. The total goods and services.
What does this mean?
I can hear every other word. Like a Mad Lib. The total goods and services represent real capital called the gross national product, and currency may be printed up to this level and still represent economic capacitance. But currency printed beyond this level is subtractive, represents the introduction of economic inductance, and constitutes notes of indebtedness. War is therefore the balancing of the system by killing the true creditors, the public, which we have taught to exchange true value for inflated currency. So killing the true creditors, parentheses, the public, and falling back on whatever is left of the resources of nature and regeneration of those resources. Mr. Rothschild had discovered that currency gave him the power to rearrange the economic structure to his own advantage, to shift economic inductance to those economic positions which would encourage the greatest economic instability and oscillation. The final key to economic control had to wait until there was sufficient data and high-speed computing equipment to keep close watch on the economic oscillations created by price shocking and excess paper energy credits paper inductance inflation. So printing excess money is how I read that. General energy concepts. In the study of energy systems, there always appears three elementary concepts. These are potential energy, kinetic energy, and energy dissipation. And corresponding to these concepts, there are three idealized, essentially pure physical counterparts called passive components. Number one, the phenomenon of potential energy is associated with a physical property called elasticity or stiffness and can be represented by a stretched spring. In electronic science, potential energy is stored in a capacitor instead of a spring. This property is called capacitance instead of elasticity or stiffness. Number two, potential energy is capacitance. Number two, in the science of physical mechanics, the phenomenon of kinetic energy is associated with a physical property called inertia or mass and can be represented by mass or flywheel in motion. In electronic science, kinetic energy is stored in an inductor, parentheses, a magnetic field instead of a mass. This property is called inductance instead of inertia.
Inductance. So it's kinetic meaning movement, like telekinesis. You move things with your mind, movement, kinetic.
Yes. Okay. In this number three, in the science of physical mechanics, the phenomenon of energy dissipation is associated with a physical property called friction or resistance and can be represented by a dash pot or other device which converts energy into heat. In electronic science, dissipation of energy is performed by an element called either a resistor or a conductor, the term resistor being the one generally used to describe a more ideal device employed to convey electronic energy efficiently from one location to another. The property of a resistance or conductor is measured as either resistance or conductance reciprocals. In economics, these three energy concepts are associated with economic capacitance.
Economic capacitor, capital. Yeah.
Money, stock, inventory, investments in buildings and durables, etc. Coefficients. Economic inductance. Services, the influence of the population of industry
on
output.
Yeah.
All these mathematical theory developed in the study of one energy system, mechanics, electronics, etc., can be immediately applied in the study of any other energy system, parentheses, economics. What's interesting to me is how cold and aloof and condescending it is, really just saying social control, well, that's just like science.
It is.
That's like...
That's how you know it's done by psychopaths. You see how completely unnerving
clinical.
That is? They've broken everything down to its completely mathematical components. They have no feeling in it at all.
Yep.
Absolutely not. They don't care at all. Isn't that mind-numbing to you? They just, here's how you control people, and here's how you do it, mathematically. That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's repulsive. What were you going to say, Danielle?
I said it's clinical.
Yeah, it's clinical.
Yes.
It's clinical. That's what it is.
That's why this document is kind of repulsive. It's kind of hard for me to – the language is very clinical. It's very cold. It's very abstract. And then they say things like, well, this guy's just a steak on my table, and they consent because, like, they are the steak, so I'm going to eat them.
The fact that they listed here that genocide is a means of balancing your economy, I mean – I don't know what else to say. Like, is there anything else to say?
Yeah, welcome to 2020.
Who wrote
that's crazy. That's a crazy proposition. Well, we just murder all these people. That's fine, right? Well, at least we'll get the things
that's
we need. Like, that's an insane proposition.
That's what I was saying. Like, all these people dying in the Ukraine, nobody even shows, like, on the nightly news. All this footage that's publicly available of people being forcibly conscripted, screaming for their lives. I don't want to go to the front lines. I don't believe in this war. I like Russians. Like, where's that? Where's that on NBC?
No, you don't want to do
where's
that.
That
that's
Rachel Maddow?
Well, and that's why, like, well, all joking aside.
Isn't that what we were shocked on 9/11 when they were like, we were shocked on 9/11 when we found out our whistleblower, oh, actually, Goldman Sachs was taking bets as the World Trade Centers were falling. They were taking bets on it. We're like, that's not even a thing that can be humanly done. Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, those aren't humans, though. That's not a human being doing
right.
That.
Right. And again,
no,
you know,
that's not a human.
We joke about being, every time a reptilian, you know, every time you smile, a reptilian goes hungry. But, like, what could these be actual humans that do this? Or is there, like, it's either satanic humans or reptiles. You choose.
Right, like, or they're influenced in some way. But if they are, they're influenced by demonics. If you can't believe in demons now, I don't know how you can. Like, this is a demonic mind frame. This, I don't know how else to say that. That's a demonic entity enslaving you right now. That's for crit. There's no way that humans just walk around being like, how can I enslave other people? People don't think like that. They just don't. You know what I mean? They just don't. Nothing verifies
First
that.
Too much work.
Nothing does.
It's too much work.
Crazy.
And they're saying right here, well,
exactly.
We're organized and
you see why we say
to
give them credit? That's why we say give them credit, because they spent some time to do this. Give credit where credit is due, honey. They put in work. They put in some, and they're counting on our laziness to not do this. That's why we can't challenge them, because we're too lazy. We're like, oh, we're not going to go
right
all that fight them. Why would we care that much? We don't care enough to fight them back to do that. We just don't. We just want peace. We don't care. So
We will. But exactly.
We have to do it better than them. But do you see? Like, I want people to think that they're lazy or stupid. They're not stupid. They're incredibly intelligent and methodical. They think about every single nuance. They're like, wow, you have a lot of time.
That's a lot of time spent on that, honey. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I often say that we have to respect these people, whatever you want to call them. I'm not saying that we should worship them or do what they say we should do, but we have to respect the amount of energy that they put into understanding us.
Incredible. And we should learn something from that.
We
should learn how, like, I'm like, we are not even close to being that organized against these people. We're not even that close. And people are like, let's organize. I'm like, when you want to organize like them, let me know, because, wow, that's crazy. That's crazy level.
We're so weak then. Exactly right. Like, that's, go ahead, Kate.
Well, it speaks to, like, the psychopathic, like, they don't get the same emotional response that a normal person does, so they seek higher and higher levels of thrill-seeking, trauma, hurting people, because they don't feel empathy. They don't even have the same anxiety response that a normal person would have. So, like, they don't have a physical, emotional cue to say, hey, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I guess there's different kinds of psychopaths, like, or narcissists anyway. Psychopaths,
indeed.
Do not have the emotional cues.
And that's why there's no such thing as the intelligence agencies. That's not a thing. Because even stupid people can spy on you and then use it against you later. It doesn't require intelligence. But moving on.
Yeah, there's psychopaths that are born and psychopaths that are made. And
the ones that are made are called the ones that are made are called sociopaths.
Or borderline personality.
Socio meaning society. So sociopaths are made that way. Psychopaths are born. There's inherent people that since they were children they've been like that. They just needed the right motivation. They were already going to do it. By the way, you need psychopaths to survive. We actually do need psychopaths to survive. By the way, we do need them, because they will survive no matter what happens. They don't care. They will survive. So that's the function of them being here. So,
but they're also more daring. So they put themselves in more physically dangerous situations, I would imagine, which is probably good. Society needs that.
They'll sacrifice anything. They'll sacrifice anything to survive. We need that for human survival, because otherwise we'll give in. We'll give in to the bullshit, and then they won't. They will survive at all costs and all hazards. So,
they'll go underground and feed off our corpses. Go ahead.
Yeah, they will. They'll do it.
Silent weapons, it seems like a real fancy way of saying we're going to screw you guys over, and we just make no bones about it. And this is how we're doing it.
We're going to harvest your energy. That's what they're saying. We are harvesting your energy, and we will make you like it.
Well, no, and also, we're doing it for your own good because you're too stupid to do it. You can't be trusted to do it.
To harvest your own energy?
No, to use your energy productively. You're too ignorant and self-righteous and greedy, and you can't do it.
You
can't be trusted to do it, so we're going to do it for you. So, and we're from the point because we want to be self-satisfied and but my trans rights and but my God, so we're doing it. We're giving them motivation to do it because we won't get over our bullshit. We won't do it. We refuse to do that. So it's like, okay.
Yeah,
we have to get over our bullshit.
It does kind of make you think about the war in the heavens, like Scientology or Gnosticism, that this world was created by a lesser demon. It does make me think about those things and wonder, like, yeah, it does feel like this is a realm that's being controlled by a lesser demon. Because this is not...
They do bring it up to the Zeus thing too. They do compare it to the Zeus fable, like we create them and then they kind of devour us eventually. That's kind of what we're doing. That's kind of what it is. Like they need us to survive,
Saturn.
But then they devour us later. They're afraid of
Saturn,
us devouring them, even though we will.
Saturn devouring his sons. That's that famous painting by Goya. Saturn. Mm-hmm. Some say that Saturn is also Satan. That it's the same guy.
It means different things. And also, he's also Kronos, the god of time, and Zeus is, you know, the goddess of justice and law and order. So, everything links. Everything does link. So,
well, Danielle, do you want to talk at all more about this silent weapons, or shall we pick it up another time? What do you think?
I've got a couple other things.
There's only 20 minutes.
I don't know. Really great points about it. I love that.
No, just other ideas that I came in with.
To talk about.
I don't even know if we have time now. We only have 20 minutes.
Right.
Would you just play the clip from Judging Freedom, the Judge Napolitano's show? He was interviewing Scott Ritter, and they're talking about Israel, what's happening in Israel, speaking of this man's inhumanity to man, controlling people, treating people like objects to be harvested, like what's going on in Israel. And then the most bone-chilling statement from Jared Kushner talking about Gaza as like basically as like real estate. It's grotesque. Like all of us who even like give room, like, I want to vote for Trump, or I believe Trump can make a change for the better, or at least he's better than the Democrats. We got to, like, make a stink about him and Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner needs to be out. But if you could see this little clip that I sent you, and I sent you time code, we could just listen to that.
Okay, I've got it, and then
it's a good one.
3112. I got it, okay. Timestamp 3112.
5 minutes. Okay.
Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Chris is going to put up a full screen of what Netanyahu told the Knesset. We must all unite against U.S. attempts to prevent an Israeli invasion of Rafah. Now, Scott, the Israeli invasion of Rafah will probably be the worst thing that they have done. They chased 1 million human beings out of northern Gaza down to southern Gaza where Rafah is, saying, get out of the way, we're bombing. Rafah had a population of 250,000. There's now 1.25 million there, five times that number. And now they're going to invade and slaughter. And what is the West going to do about it?
Nothing. Come on, Judge, we allow Israel to drop food shipments in and have the Gazans run to the food shipment and then bomb them. We didn't do anything. We allow the Israelis to have Palestinian civilians walk across the street with a mother holding the hand of her son, waving a white flag, and we allow them to shoot the mother and kill her, and we do nothing. We allow Israeli snipers to shoot into a hospital and hit a surgeon carrying out life-saving operations on civilians.
Are you still there?
You know, what are we going to do about Rafah? Nothing, because if we were going to do anything, we'd have already done it. But we don't care about the Palestinian people. We talk about them. We pretend to care about them. But if we cared about them, everything you just said, we know what's going to happen. We know what the consequences are. Now is the time for decisive action, not the kind of wishy-washy, you know, political games. We're in a political season right now where Israel, the concept of Israel, is being used as, you know, as a weapon in American politics. Nobody wants to do the right thing, because the right thing would expose yourself politically at home. You can't be anti-Israel. You can't be against Israel. But right now is the time to be anti-Israel and to be against.
I'm sorry, I had to take a bathroom break.
Oh, could you keep going?
Yeah, I will.
I just want to hear the part with Jared Kushner. But yes, I'm glad you got a chance to go to the bathroom too.
Yeah, no problem. But then, yeah, I want to hear this part too. But oh, wait, what is this upcoming? Yes, good. Okay, very good. 3-2-1.
Israel, because Israel no longer stands, no longer shares values with us. Or if they do, that condemns us, because that means that our values are values that endorse genocidal behavior, that endorse the slaughter of innocent civilians, that endorse the Rafah. We don't want the Rafah invasion to happen. We can stop it right now with a phone call, but we're not doing that.
Here's a line from someone you and I know personally. Hamas is to blame for the Gaza war. Any country would act like Israel is. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I mean, this is repellent. No country has ever acted like Israel has since Nazi Germany.
Look, the concept of, you know, tactics used by Hamas, we can get that, we can parse it out. Hamas is not above criticism, but we need to get to a fundamental understanding here. The Gazan people are an occupied people, and under international law, an occupied people have an inherent right of resistance, and the occupiers have no inherent right of self-defense. This is straight up, you know, red letter law or black letter law.
Correct.
And so RFK Jr. is just 100% wrong on this one, 100% wrong. Yes, I'm not saying that Hamas can't be criticized. No, we all could be criticized. But what I'm saying is, if your fundamental proposition is that Hamas has no inherent right of resistance, then you're wrong. You're wrong, and you've sold out to Israeli interests, and then you're no longer representing the values of the United States people. Or maybe you are. Maybe RFK Jr.'s got this right, Judge. Maybe he knows the American people better than we do. And maybe he thinks that the American people have sold out to everything, all principles and values that the Constitution will not sustain or endorse. Maybe the American people have gravitated so far away from that's where we should be, that RFK Jr. is the guy who's got it right, because it's no longer about doing what American values are, because we have no values. We've sold out.
You mentioned these executions. The other day while on air, I got a text from a former student, from when I was a professor at Brooklyn Law School, who's now a lawyer in New Jersey. He's an Egyptian-American, telling me that his 35-year-old cousin, the head of pediatrics at the Gaza City Hospital, was slaughtered by rapid fire by IDF that burst into the room where he was tending to two babies, not tending to Hamas, purported Hamas killers, but tending to two babies in a hospital, 35-year-old pediatrician, father of five. This is what those people have to live with. And now, are you ready for this? Here's the Israeli economic interest in cleansing Gaza. Here's former President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, talking to a professor of Middle East studies at Harvard about what is to become of Gaza when the war is over. This will repulse you, but I don't think it'll surprise you.
Once Gazans leave Gaza, Netanyahu's never going to let them back in.
Maybe, but I'm not sure there's much left of Gaza at this point.
So
my sense is I would say, how do we deal with the terror threat that is there? so that it cannot be a threat to Israel or to Egypt, right? I think that both sides are spending a fortune on military. I think neither side really wants to have, you know, a terrorist organization enclave right between them. And Gaza's waterfront property, it could be very valuable to if people would focus on kind of building up. It's a little bit of an unfortunate situation there, but I think from Israel's perspective, I would do my best to move the people out and then clean it up.
Last week in northern New Jersey, there were two Israeli real estate companies offering for sale land in Israel, land in the West Bank, land in Gaza, and the Attorney General of New Jersey reminded them that it's against the law in this state to sell or to attempt to sell or offer for sale real estate with restrictive covenants on it. That is real estate that you don't own or real estate that can only be bought by one ethnic or religious group and not by anybody else. Your thought.
Do you want
to incredible, isn't it? That's good.
Yeah, I mean,
I just
clinical.
Makes me speechless. Yeah. Same type of attitude as the document we were just looking at.
Right. Yeah. That is
killing
really
a doctor who was tending to two babies also. And then, oh, but we're not the terrorists. Hamas is. And we've been spending a lot of money defending ourselves, so we just got to move them out.
But the
it's
money,
like
though.
Fleas or something.
But what about the money, though?
It's beachfront property. That was the other thing, is I found this video.
Beachfront property? But the beachfront property, though.
I found this video of a lady, a Jewish
I just
lady
don't understand people. I
she
don't understand.
She would move there for the beachfront property.
Mediterranean.
Just repulsive. Oh, my God. Caring
yeah.
about people because they're
I'm excited to see who's going to reveal themselves more as this. I mean, the conflict's not going to get better. It's just going to get worse and worse, and more people are going to reveal their actual intentions. Just wait for them. That's what I say. If you're saying things and people aren't listening, wait for them. Wait for them because they'll tell you what they're doing. They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you what they're doing. So,
can I tell you something that was like really shocking that I learned this week with the Candace Owens thing, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You go against, you know, the Israel and the military industrial complex, you will get canceled. And it doesn't matter if you are a strong black woman calling out BLM, you know, you will, mm-hmm. you're going to be called an anti-Semite and not know anything of the struggles. And that interview with the rabbi oh my God, if you guys have not seen it.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's long, but it's about an hour. But I wanted to throw things at the TV because he was basically saying that she was an anti-Semitic because she would not, this is almost a quote, she would not condemn what happened on October 7th as a uniquely evil, you know, attack on Jews.
Yeah.
Uniquely
did
evil.
Did she mention their attacks on civilians, the Israel's attacks on civilians as well?
No,
how
we had to go
different?
Back to, well, no, we
you
had
know what
to go
was,
back.
No, because remember, they didn't get rid of her because she was anti-Israel. It's because she wasn't pro-Israel enough, the problem was.
Right.
That's what it was.
That's true.
Hmm.
That's
so not that she didn't condemn. She condemned all the violence, but she wasn't pro-Israel enough. So now it's not even about being pro-Israel. You have to be pro-Israel to their liking. That's what it is. That's what's
yeah.
wrong then.
So just real quick, like one of the worst things that this rabbi said was that mm-hmm. because she was like, all I'm saying here is that I also cry when Palestinian children die and without the caveat of as human shields, right? And he comes mm-hmm. back and basically says that, yeah, you know what, Candace? I cry every day. I cry every day for what happened in Israel, but I cry more for them making us do it to them, making us kill their children.
Oh,
I love that. That's my favorite thing. Love yeah. it.
And then and
the
she's,
other
and
thing
she's,
is.
Oh, what are you making me do this to you? Why are you making me do this to you?
Yeah. And there's some, you know, person that he quotes or whatever, and I'm paraphrasing here, but we may be able to someday forgive you for the babies that you killed on October 7th, but we will never forgive you for making us kill your babies.
I'm so sorry we had to kill you. This. I'm so sorry that you forced our hand into killing you. I'm so sorry that that happened to you. I love it. I love that. That level. That level of delusion, honey.
How did Candace, I'm just curious, did she have the full information about the Abraham Doctrine and the fact
oh, yeah.
that Israelis killed their own and they killed a lot of those concert goers?
Oh, yeah.
I'm
did
sure
she
so.
Know
yeah.
that?
I'm sure she
so
did. However, that was not.
They were trying to get Egypt in. Yeah, they were trying to get Egypt in. By the way, that's why Egypt couldn't get humanitarian aid is because Pakistanians were killing Egypt people, bringing them in. I'm like, yeah, it's not just all. There's some underlying shit there that people are just not accepting. I'm like, y'all want to go to war? That's what it is. You want to? That's just what's happening.
Yes.
You want
they're
to?
Trying to
otherwise, you wouldn't do it.
World War,
so,
they're trying to manufacture World War III. That's what
yep.
seems to be in the offing because there's none of this makes any sense.
It doesn't. It's completely irrational. It's 100% irrational.
Danielle, do you remember
I mean,
what you were
all wars
to say
are, but still.
A minute ago? Yes, all wars are irrational. What were you saying, Danielle?
Oh, I don't
Did
think
you
I said anything.
Forget.
No. I don't think I said
okay.
anything for a second. But you know, besides the fact that going back to Candace Owens and the fact that she just got canceled completely, really just kind of like drives it home that. This black woman who called out BLM is, you know, being canceled by the right. You know, like this is a really.
Oh, really?
Way. Yeah, she just lost her job.
She's being canceled?
Yeah, she
Daily
lost
Wire.
Daily Wire fire. Because mm-hmm. they weren't talking anything
well,
they could get.
Yep.
So
you're breaking
up. We finally got her.
You're breaking up.
They finally got her.
That sucks.
Yeah, they got her. But just by saying that I feel bad when any innocent civilian dies, you know, like who would not condemn the attacks that happened on October 7th? With the caveat, she didn't say this, but in my mind, I was like, if it's true, right? But who believes war propaganda? I mean, I don't believe American war propaganda. Right. And that's one of the things that he, you know, like said, I'm going to set up a private viewing of the Israeli Defense Force footage of babies being killed and raped and beheaded and barbecued and filleted and all of the things that they, you know, want to say.
They,
just like they threw the babies out of the gold floor. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same playbook. Like, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes, you know?
Babies
yeah.
taken out of incubators. Is that what you're referring to?
Right.
Yep.
The Syrian line.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. And all of this just keeps happening. It's the same playbooks over and over again. So excuse me if I don't believe any of the propaganda, you know, honestly, from either side. I tend to believe the Palestinian side more than I do the Israeli side, because it's the same war propaganda that we use on our own, you know, on America, right? So,
well, like the beauty of what I showed you, it's Judge Napolitano saying, I have this friend who was my student, you know, he knew an Egyptian American, he had a friend who this happened to. Like, it is more anecdotal, it's hard to trace, but it has, you know, it sounds truthful because it's not being reported, for one thing. It's not being sensationalized.
Right. Absolutely.
But then again, there we are banning TikTok. They're trying to ban TikTok, both sides,
yep.
to prevent these kind of voices from telling different narratives.
this is an amazing conversation, but I have to end. We're at almost our 30-second mark.
Yeah, it's like we're not done. We made it, though.
Good Lord. I don't know if we're going to do it next week. I will if you guys want to rise, but I'll be around. Please share this if you can, and we love you all, and we will talk to you soon. Bye.
Next week, y'all. See you.
Bye. Love you guys.